Oh, no. we can finally say goodbye to 2017. We've been hanging on to it the last 3 weeks, but now we can let it go after tonight, because that's when we're going to have a little something special here, a couple of lists on the movie review extravaganza.
Just moaning into the microphone.
I'm feeling good. That's why. Yeah, feeling happy, and I got the ghetto bird up in here. Oh, what's going on, everybody? Ooh, I'm so hot that I really am a little warm. Oh, people, we have the long-awaited list of worst of movies of 2017 by the great Gertz and Mr. Thomas over here.
Getting to me?
Yeah, getting to you, man. Finally getting to you. Corey Goodwin and I, we got ours out the way. Speaking of which, I am Corey number one. And over here we have Corey number
two.
Corey two. I mean, we only take it in the order of appearance.
Yeah.
I was here long before you were. So
true, very yeah. true. Long
before you were. And on top of that, people. Oh, got that Black Panther review. Y'all finally saw it? No. But somebody did. We got somebody who got a hold of me yesterday, and they said, man, I'm dying to share my opinion of Black Panther with you guys. Can
Is
I
it
do
P?
It? No.
Is
it,
are we doing a cut that bitch
cut
off?
Cut that bitch off.
Man, it's been a while.
No, it's been a while, man. We might have to, like, give that bitch a couple extra minutes, man. It's Black Panther up in here. So we got somebody going to call in for cut that bitch off. Hadn't done that in a while. Some people don't even think it exists anymore. Oh, it's here. And we have a review. I didn't think we'd have one because it was kind of, but you know how it is in January.
Sure,
and, yeah. And then people say, ain't nobody going to see no movies. Super Bowl's looming around the corner.
Yeah.
But one brave soul decided to step out this weekend. Annette Bening.
Hi, guys.
I will take on the Patriots.
How long ago did we see this movie?
Like 2 weeks ago.
No, way longer. It's like in December.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
Yeah. It's been at least a month, if not longer.
Yeah. But she wants to remind everybody that film stars do not die in Liverpool. They die everywhere else.
Just in the box office. Yeah.
But it'd be a dignified death. I will it. We'll let you know what I review. And we've already introduced ourselves to you. Got some handsome young man up in here. Relax, man. Yeah. What's up? What's your name again? Chris. I haven't seen you in a while. The last time I saw you, we were in that little cracker box studio, right? Right across the hall. Yeah. I look at me, he's like, I don't know.
Cracker box. That studio wasn't that much smaller than this one.
It's like that Harry Potter closet. Like, yeah, it was a decent size, man.
Oh, but we're moving on to bigger things. I'm used to seeing things bigger now, and it looks so small, even in here. You know, we're moving to a new studio soon. And we hope to see some of you over there. Maybe we'll see some of these folks over here, the folks that actually make sure that this show is running. I don't do anything anymore without looking at y'all. It's funny because there used to be a time when people talk shit and you didn't like it. Now when I see them talking shit, I know that we're doing just fine. So talk all the shit that you want to. Who am I talking about? I am talking about, of course, the backbone of this program, this website, this business, my existence. I'm talking about the chat. How y'all doing? What's going on? Caught you off guard, didn't I? But hey, I told you, if y'all ain't talking shit, something's wrong. And something was indeed wrong.
Yes.
Yeah. When that things were a little bit too calm, a little bit sparse on the fuck yous and the foreheads and all that kind of stuff. Ain't talking about my shirt. I was like, they being... You know, it's like when kids are too quiet in the room.
Yeah.
Like, nah.
What y'all doing up there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, y'all a little bit too tame, too well behaved. But I am talking about the chat. Thank y'all for letting us know that things were not running. And I, again, apologize. I have no idea what was going on with that. Everything should have been just fine. But hey, we got it together. We here now. Fortunately, we caught it about 5 minutes in and didn't go any further than that. So now that we all settled, we in for the show. I can talk to some other people in here. You know those folks I'm talking about. The ones that we don't ever see, but are always thinking about. Maybe we'll see you one day. I really do hope so. We're getting a fine new space for you. That way we got a bigger spot just so we can accommodate you. But until then, we'll be satisfied with just a plain old email. We'll take it any which way we can. So please pull out a keyboard and type in for me. kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's KCOOLMANZ at gmail.com. You email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if you'd like to be a part of the show, as we've been asking you to, in that email, put your phone number, put your Skype contact in there, press send, bam, up in your home, criticizing you. Sorry ass, because we're the only critics in the world. We mean that with love, though. Only critics in the world that do the house calls. Oh, you know that Twitter? Not that much. At least I'm not. I try to stay away from there. But if you want to take a chance, I might be in there at KCoolMan. But I'm always on an Instagram now at Double Toasted Fan Page, and always on the Facebooks. Type in Double Toasted. Like some private time with me? Type in Corey.Coleman.5. If I'm out there criticizing people too hard, Mr. Goodwin.
Find me on Facebook, Corey.Goodwin.5. You can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv, the highscore DT, all one word, on Instagram, DB Cooper KG, Pete Gertz.
Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz, Twitter, Patrick Gertz at P Gertz, and on Instagram at P Gertz, Blue Man Martin.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Martin_NoFro, or look for Martin Thomas on Facebook.
I'll look for Martin Thomas right up here in the world famous Double Toasted Studios on that stank ass couch. Hey, probably be your last time to see this historic spot right here, so get here soon. If you visit in Austin, or better yet, if you visited Austin and you moved here, but you moved here and tell nobody, that's even worse. You ain't got no excuse. Come on over and check us out before we leave somewhere else. kcoolmans@gmail.com. You know how it is. Give us an email. I'm gonna give you back an email. We're gonna coordinate with each other, and that way we can accommodate. You ain't lying, girls. Martin looked like a nice, delicious slice of blueberry pie today.
You love it.
Yeah, I do love it, man. Looking tasty. No, I do love it, man. I don't say anything anymore because you think I'm just talking bad about him, but I've come to respect the style of Mr. Thomas over here.
See, he doesn't relent, so you have no choice.
I don't stop.
Yeah. You beat him in a submission.
Yeah. Stockholm syndrome of fashion.
I know. Let's just let him talk himself out. He'll die one day. But let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about this for a moment. If you're tired of hearing me talk, just hold on. Just give me just a few more minutes. I'm sorry. Just a little more time. And believe me, I'm going to step back and give the stage to these fine young gentlemen over here. But before I do that, before I back away, let me just tell you about something that you need to know. Because a lot of you out there, and some of you women are doing this, but you're better about this. But I know you man out there, your trifling ass. We have February 14th, right around the corner. Like, well, whose birthday is that? See? That's St. Valentine's birthday. That's who it is. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. You ain't made no reservations. You ain't got no plans. And you sure as hell ain't got no gift. But don't worry about it. You know, I got you back. I got you. You know, I'm gonna get my boys out there. So what you do is go over to dtmerch.com. Just do it. What you're going to find over there are many fine items. Well, I know some of you have turned your girls over to the ways of the toast here on doubletoasted.com. Now all she needs to do is just look sexy in some of our shirts, beanies, hats. No, we don't have that peacock shirt yet. Martin's working on it, though. Wow, they are quick, man. They found that quick. Man, did you pose for that?
Was that Skull?
Because
he's the fastest. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. He's quick.
Yeah, it was Skull. Oh, I know Skull got something for his girl because he's quick. But y'all, the rest of y'all, get something on dtmerch.com. Get your girl a nice gift. She's going to look hot in a lot of things, but she's going to look especially hot in some DT clothing. And you know something? If you want to make that gift extra special, get her something that is not going to last. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about
give her a parting gift.
Brothers were getting mad. Man, you talking about me for it? No. What I'm talking about is a limited item shirt on doubletoasted.com or DT merch that features our artist of the month. Now, you know, tomorrow is going to be February, and normally this shirt would be gone. The shirt I'm talking about is the Double Demon shirt, which is a parody of Demon Days, and that is from the Gorillaz, the second great album from the Gorillaz. And the person who did this art, replacing the Double Toasted characters with the Gorillaz characters, that is Ginniliano, Ginniliano. If you like Ginny's designs, go to Ginny Designs on Instagram And maybe we'll get Jenny back around here someday. Someday when she's, you know, before she gets huge and she can't talk to us no more, you know, because we ain't going to be shit.
Double who?
Yeah. Be like that dude I told you about, double dickheads. No, no, you know.
Who said that?
Oh, who's some dude online? I'll tell you about that. Oh, remind me, I'll tell you about that a little bit.
Okay.
Don't worry. If you miss her and she gets big and popular, she's not messing with us again someday. We hope to get her back. But until then, we got a lot of great artists coming through. Got Remus and Kiki Animation here with Cosmic Danielle. We've been showing that shirt, and you're going to see that up in the store very soon, very soon. Sometime tomorrow, if not tomorrow, then the next day. But that's the shirt that I personally want, so we'll have that for you very soon. Our featured artists for February. And while you're supporting, go ahead and, you know, just one little extra thing. And even, it's not even as much as a shirt. Just go ahead and get a subscription. Put that in your basket right there. No, it's not even $7. $6.99. And it's so easy. You're not going to even see it going anywhere because it's coming out your Prime account. What Prime account? Your Amazon Prime account. See, we got the Amazon Pay button on our site. And that way we can kind of join our Amazon forces. And when you put your username, your password on that Amazon Pay button with your Prime account, press in and just sit back. Enjoy that toasty goodness that's coming your way because you're part of the family right now. And either you just want to help keep this entertainment going or you actually want to join in on some of the shows, which you can do when you watch a live stream by being a subscriber. Now, let me see. I think I've said everything I had to say. Yeah, man. So I don't even want to give this dude attention. It was some dude who got mad at us. I think I told you about this before. Some dude got mad because we were talking shit about DC every time we did a Marvel movie.
Oh, one of these DC people?
Yeah, this dude. Yeah, he was making like, he made about three videos where he was just calling us out.
He made actual videos?
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that dude with the glasses?
Yeah.
We played one of the videos on the show.
Oh, okay. Did I?
Yeah.
Wait, all this double dickheads?
Man, boy, it was even fun because he was just going off on a list. He was going off on this rant on people. And then they were actually cool as names because it was almost like he was freestyling. And he got to us and he's like, double toasted, yeah, double dick faces. And I was like, wow, you know, he actually made me laugh. Well, I'm telling you, if you're going to talk shit, be creative. You're going to be racist, be creative. You know, yeah.
General rule, yeah.
Yeah, if you make me laugh, you get a pass.
And spell check. Those two things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to do that. Yeah, that dude was hot, man. And then he pulled up all these other creepy videos of him where he was stalking girls online. Ooh. Yeah, because somebody said, you better shut the fuck up. And nobody heard. There wasn't no more double dick heads, no more double dick faces. He got double dicked a little bit, but that was about it. Yeah, man, he was making these creepy ass videos where he was just like, like girls even know, hey, my sweetheart, my baby, my honey, I'm picturing here right now. And people like, man, you better stop that shit.
Don't crave the spotlight.
yeah, we didn't have to do a goddamn thing. If anything, I was encouraging him to go. And I was like, yeah, man, please, man, you get a pass for another one. Make up some more shit. Can't wait for your fan fiction. Anyway, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Oh, I love it. The chat talking about damn. What was that they saying? Double dickheads. That's gonna, what they say? That's what I'm gonna keep. Yay. No, I got that one, man. I got that one framed in bronze.
Yeah, you better copyright
it. Yeah. Put that on a shirt.
Oh, let's see here. I told you tonight, if you just tuning in and you missed the rundown, finally getting to it. You know, it's 2018 and we still hanging on 2017. We told you all the good things about 2017. Now it's time for us to get to the down and dirty, which that's what everybody wants. We're going to tell you all the worst movies of 2018. Now, I myself and Mr. Goodwin over here, you know, we were diligent with ours. We got ours out the way.
Professionals.
Professionals, yeah, yeah. You know, these kids late with the homework right here. So.
Sure, it was our fault.
No, I was pushing it. You know, well, not even me. We just had just stuff that would come through. A trailer would drop, a story would drop, a review would drop. And I had to drop the worst of list for 2017. But now, on this last day of January, we are going to get out the way. And we're going to have Gertz, his worst of. Everybody wants to hear yours because you got, they say, good commentary. And Martin, they say, well, you the man that's always unpredictable. Don't know what's going to happen.
I suppose. If my list is interesting for any reason, it's because I didn't see all the worst movies that you guys saw.
Yeah.
I missed a lot of those.
Yeah,
I might have different things on my list.
I'm going to tell you something, man. I was looking at your list. Your list was a reminder of how much time I saved not seeing some bullshit like you did.
Sure.
Because
<You know?
laughs> I was actively working through trying to get through the bad movies. I sat down on a weekend with y'all and watched a couple of bad movies. I was trying. I was making an effort. And I just couldn't get them all, man. Couldn't catch them all. I missed a couple that's actually on your list. And with that,
good for you.
Yeah, man. I was happy. It was like, yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. When you guys were listing off movies I didn't see, I was like, whew, I had a good year.
Yeah. No, I really, man. It's just, you look back and you realize you just cannot keep up. And you think that you can't keep up with the good movie. You cannot keep up with the shit that is out there. And if you do, you just realize that's half your life wasted.
Yep.
So that's why I'm happy that we have four people. Even more than the good movie, we have four people here. It's good to talk about good things, but we need to be very thorough with the bullshit. Oh,
yeah. Dig in deep.
Yeah, dig in deep.
Like Jurassic Park.
Stick a fine-tooth comb up your ass and try to get deep with it and detailed. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And I'm going to go ahead, again, age before beauty, Mr. Mm-hmm. Gers. I'm going to go ahead and let Mr. Thomas over here.
Really?
I'm going to let you start first.
Oh, okay.
If you would, if you don't mind.
You know what? Yeah, you should save Gertz for later because he has more rage.
Yeah.
I'm more like, hey, look, I survived you. You're over. I don't really want to beat up on you.
But I'll never see you again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bad one night stand.
He's going to be exhausted by the end of the show.
I'm not going to blog about it.
Yeah. Somebody's going to die. You know, yeah, it's better that we let you get yours out the way.
I like to kick things while they're down.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I can say, though, is that we made these lists so long ago, I don't remember the order of what's on it, so you got to remind
Martin, me. Martin, you know, that's why I got you. I realized last time when I tried to give it to you, like, you know, I said, and number eight.
More like, sure. Oh, yeah.
Like, nigga, it's your list.
How do you fail a test that you wrote?
I know it's on there. I saw the order.
What's your name, sir?
I don't know.
Help!
What you want it to be.
I know what the letters are.
Okay. Well, Martin, that's why I got you. If you don't mind me introducing your worst
No, no, please.
Then I will do it. I will try to do it with the flair and professionalism that you have. So, the presentation that you have. So with that said, in the role of Martin Thomas tonight, Corey Coleman, presenting his worst of 2017. And
you want his hat?
Can I have his hat? Yes, I was looking around for a hat. And tonight, in the role of Martin Thomas.
Wow.
It's Corey Coleman. I kind of like my Uncle Chuck in this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But all right. So let's go ahead. Got my Martin hat on so I can present his movies. His worst of 2017. Starting with number 10, we have...
This summer, new places.
Player Expo's in Indianapolis this weekend. It's only 2 inches away.
I'm sure that's how maps work.
Changing destination.
New faces.
I'm gonna gun it.
Martin, how could you put this fine film on your worst of list?
Favorite right extra.
that's the one thing about it. I said, man, I was almost gonna put this on my list, but that extra back yeah, man. That creepy ass.
I'm going to kill your baby. And then you.
I'm wondering if he knows people are talking about him now.
I was about to tweet his name out because I still don't know like what his name is. Or, like, uh-huh. Somebody help me find this guy.
Yeah. And I saw him. You were right. He is in Thor.
Yeah.
Even when I saw Thor, I was like, I did see him.
Right.
No bullshit. I was like, oh my God, is that psychopath extra?
I remember him flashing for that second and going, ooh, but then so many other things are going on in Thor. It's just like, all right, I'll get back to that.
Now, that's kind of cool, Martin, because that's another thing, man. This is the first time that we've been able to tie the Wimpy Kid universe with the Marvel universe.
Yeah. It's all connected.
We've actually connected.
Teleported from Oklahoma to Chicago
to Midgar.
And plus, this was, like we said, man, this was our true bonding experience. We all saw this on a Saturday morning. It was probably the best Saturday morning we've had together seeing a movie. But Martin, it's your movie.
Well,
why did you put this on there?
Because of how much fun we had watching it. This almost didn't make it into the top 10. And you have to look at the fact that, hey, they found a kid who looked like the original Roderick, a younger version. Like, they did actually put some work into that. And even Tom Everett Scott has a very
– dad?
Yeah, yeah, he has a Steve Zahn-ness about him.
It's like the dad from the original.
Yeah.
Man, you've gone really deep with this.
However, there is no getting around it. I went back and forth, but I was like, man, this film is just so incompetent. It fought to be on a worst of list. There's just too much about it that can't disqualify it from that. I feel like it wanted this title, so it had to make the list.
Yeah, you know what, Martin? I don't really blame you. There was one thing in here that almost made me just lose all charm I had for this. I'm still creeped out by that dude that played Roderick. That dude that looks like an Asian
Korean
prostitute.
He was in Sense 8. No.
Well, it's funny because these characters, you know, Roderick included, look completely different in the book. They're almost stick figures. And yet they felt the need to, like, well, if we're going to reboot this, we're going to make them look just like they did before.
Yeah. You know, I wish that they actually had gone through and CG animated, like 3D stick figures.
Yeah, I kind of do too. I mean, they could have done something creative with it.
Yeah.
Whole thing that they keep going through, the recurring joke of that fat guy with the family who's out to kill Greg.
Yeah.
And, like, there's never a point when he's like, what am I doing? No. I could go to jail for this.
Yeah, that broke into their room, though. He's got to die for that, I guess.
That fat dude that's not trying to – what's the kid's name?
Greg.
Greg, that's not trying to kill Greg. He's trying to rape Greg.
New trouble.
Come here, boy. I'm going to let you have it, man, because it has everything that it has on a road trip movie that we see. And half the time, that's not even funny. You know, you have the run-in with the same character over and over again. You have the one moment where somebody either get car sick or they, as in here, get on a ride and throw up all over the place.
Man, this is the Goofy movie. I'm telling y'all, if you see the Goofy movie, it is beat for beat that movie, man.
I believe you.
God damn it.
But I feel like you look fondly on the Goofy movie.
I do.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah, and guess what?
Another
Goofy ain't here.
Oh, it's Goofy, though.
It's Goofy. Yeah. It's plenty Goofy. And just even their schemes, that whole thing of, well, if we get to this internet convention across town somehow, it's going to fix everything.
Yeah. They arrive at the house and it's like, is that your mom's house?
Yeah. Right.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. They crash with the boat.
Crash in the boat.
Yeah, when you put it like that, Martin, I can see where you're coming from.
I mean, yeah, it was so, had it been just a little bit better, we would have hated this movie.
That's so true.
Yeah, that is true, man. That is true.
It is too bad to hate.
And I will tell you, I'm being very shallow with this. If Crazy Ass wasn't in this, I would not like this. I would hate it. That silly motherfucker made this. Look at this shit right here. Uh-huh. Where am I?
The thing I love about it, he's doing the same thing in Thor, man.
This brother he's not an extra. He just walks onto sets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just put a costume on him. Put a hat on him.
He's some interdimensional being who just floats around.
Somebody said he's the watcher.
Yeah.
Well, he is watching really hard right there. Look at him. And if you're listening, go look up a clip for Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul. Look for the one with at the state fair. And you're going to see, you can't miss him. Just play the clip.
He shows up at that convention also.
Yeah, they use him twice.
Yeah.
It's some bright skinned, skinny ass dude with these crazy looking eyes just staring around looking at people, looking like he's like drugged out or something. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I will give the movie points just for that. Martin, let's go ahead and go to number 9. And Martin, this is one that I looked at and I said, forgot that this movie even existed.
I just always act out on my birthday. It's like my own personal New Year's Eve. Well, I just go like, what? And I just reel it back.
Number 9 is Home Again.
This is the one I was talking about earlier.
Oh, what's that?
When I said you guys missed it, and I was like, yeah, they probably forgot about it. I almost forgot about it, and then I remembered it. I was like, okay, maybe they just didn't hate this movie like I did.
I didn't see this.
Yeah, no, you were the only one to see this. I think.
Was I?
I didn't, because I did not see it.
Oh.
Yeah, you were, brother, you were the only one to like.
That's why we forgot about
that's
it.
That's why.
Yeah,
that's
yeah
why.
You
okay.
thought you got out good. You're like, man, I skipped all the bad shit. You know, and no, you went and saw this one on your own. I don't even remember what this one's about. You don't have to give a whole synopsis, but just for the sake of just reminding people like us, what is Reese Witherspoon doing? What?
It's moving back into her father, a famous director's house. And these three young guys kind of move in because they need a place to crash. But one of them won't stop hitting on her. Well, that one. So she ends up having sex with him. But then all three guys have crushes on her. And it's supposed to be this thing of like, oh, it's an older woman who's being pursued by three young guys. And is it how awesome is that? We're turning the tables. I'm like, A, there's no gender counterpart to this. And B, each one of these guys is more annoying than the next. Like, none of them are charming. That one that she's hooked up with, he's completely lovesick and inappropriate constantly. And she's got a young kid around.
She got two, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you ain't remember this shit.
There's so many cliches, like them bringing in Michael Sheen as the ex-husband, who they make him a dick, of course.
Bad guy.
Bad guy. Even though everything he does, well, not everything, but so much of it, I'm like, well, that's completely appropriate for someone who's like, hey, I don't want my kids around these dudes. What the hell's going on?
Yeah, I remember you talking about that character, and with even you telling me, I'm like, yeah, man, you know, it sounds like he's the guy in the movie that's making sense, but because they want women to have something to root against,
yeah,
he's the killjoy. You know, you root against him. And yeah, I hate that.
It's just one of these movies where you watch it, you're like, I'm not sure who I'm supposed to be rooting for in this. There's nobody here. You have potential for it, and yet there's nobody here who I want to follow or go like, yes, you continue. You're like, fuck all y'all.
All right, well, that sums it up right there. that's almost a new rating. Fuck all y'all. All right. This one I'm surprised about. Because for some reason, we got into a debate about the shittiness of this film. I don't even know why this is on your list.
Yeah, I am kind of shocked, too.
Yeah, but his number 8 movie, which he defended at one time.
Walk on the face.
Why are you grabbing me so tight?
Why does she always look like she's running in slow-mo?
You see it, too?
What changed your mind, Martin?
Chips.
Okay.
Chips changed my mind.
It just took one bag of chips to change this film.
Yes. I mean, at the time, yes, we got into an argument about it because Gertz and I were like, well, we expect this movie to be shitty. Why are you guys so bent out of shape? And that's how I was like, yeah, it's about as bad as I expected. Maybe there's some things in here that are kind of okay. Mm-hmm. But when I saw Chips, it was like the Usual Suspects where I dropped my mug, where it all became crystal clear to me what exactly was wrong with Baywatch. Because I was like, Chips is the same movie, but it was working at a disadvantage that it was written and directed and starred Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And had no money, whereas Baywatch had all this money and all these stars. And it's actually worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had material to play with. Chips didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
So let me right now officially apologize to the two of you.
Thank you.
Man. Don't let it happen again.
Yeah. Apology reluctantly accepted, but yes. But you came around. That's all that matters. Yeah. Like I said, this is a movie that hurt The Rock. You know, had him begging for people.
Now, as I watched Chips, I started thinking back to scenes from this.
Yeah.
And just all the different things they did. I was like, wow, how did I just blow that off?
It's painful. Yeah, it's painful. It's very painful. Let's go ahead and get to number 7. I'm not sure if this was on everyone's list. Maybe they're dishonorable mentions, but we all have a degree of dislike for this film.
I want you back. I had no idea what this was going to become.
I don't see how this can work.
Where's the hashtag for this movie? You know?
Yeah,
how come people ain't saying this movie's creepy? Because this movie's creepy as fuck, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And that's your 50 Shades Darker is your number 7 movie.
It is. It is. I don't remember where you guys had it on yours. And it might have been higher. You would expect this to be higher on the list or closer to number 1. But what I guess what kept it at this point was that, yes, it's awful. It's all these things that are really, really offensive. And it's playing that whole – it's female empowerment, except not really, except not at all,
yeah,
not even a little bit. But the whole a lot of the criticisms I have in the first movie, they did actually address. Like the whole, like, this billionaire, why is he going after mousy girls? They actually stopped to explain it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, he got a fetish.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, you acknowledged it and explained it. I guess I kind of got to give you props for that.
Yeah, the next one's going to be an actual CG mouse.
The guy's still a creep, but you explained it.
Oh, he's still a creep. I do like that they explained that he was damaged, like he got touched when he was a kid.
Right, right.
You know, so it was kind of cool that they
did
that.
Right, he had the older woman take advantage of him, all these different things. And toward the end, as we see these guys who've been in love with Anastasia, who kind of got pushed to the side, are coming together to form their sexual legion of doom.
That's powerful, man.
I can't wait.
It's actually made me look forward to watching the next one.
Yeah, the dick and vagina so good, they create supervillains. In League. Yeah, so what you're saying is that it's shitty, but because of these things, it's not as high.
Right.
That's fair.
It's still got to be there.
Oh, it's still on the list.
Yeah, I know. I see. I definitely see that. This is one. This was my Baywatch for you. I was like, I'm not going to defend it, but I don't know why you got so mad at my man here.
Y'all don't know what pimp is. Just rebels and tyrants.
Right there.
That's badass,
that's it,
man.
That's it.
You know, you don't.
That's it right there.
You know, you don't see your superhero skating on the side of a bus. I love that.
I forgot this came out last January.
Fuck your bus.
I still need to see this shit.
I'm Triple X.
Yeah, man, my man
is too goddamn old.
That's what I love about this. You got this 50-year-old man out there skateboarding.
Wait, isn't this the one where he jumped out the back of a plane from like the front all the way to the back of?
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
oh,
it is.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, but I live for this shit.
Did he die in the second one? No,
this is the second one.
No, this is the third one. The second one had Ice Cube.
Oh, Ice Cube.
The second one with him.
Yeah, I'd love that they got the balls for a 50-year-old man to be out there. Extreme skating on the side of mass transit systems.
Yeah, Tony Hawk's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, even back when he was 40 and he was going like, you know, he's doing terrorist acts. Make video games free. I'm like, okay, man.
That's a cause I can get behind.
It's a stretch, but all right. I mean, I'm not saying if you're 40, you're too old for video games, but too old to be committing crimes in the name of video games.
Yeah.
But it... When you guys put the latest Fast and the Furious on your list, it was funny, but it was the like, hey, it's at least it's not Xander Cage.
Oh yeah,
and it's like oh yeah, because yeah. Man, Fast and the Furious gets ridiculous and over the top, but there's always something about it. Whether it's a charm or it's just this tenuous hold on reality and physics that keeps you in your seat. This one blows past all that. I mean, it's either by people who are too stupid or don't give a shit. And I feel like it's the first one.
He's punched with a motorcycle.
He punched his ass with a motorcycle.
And the teams are bad, and Ruby Rose is doing her thing where she just comes in with a lip stuck out and has a look but nothing really else. And by the time they got to all the action stuff at the end, I was like, man, I just don't care about any of this.
Tired.
Yeah. You know, I see what you're saying here. It didn't piss me off, but I see what you're saying. It's a sloppy-ass movie, too, because first of all, they bring back Samuel Jackson in here again, who always kind of anchors a little bit of something. The fact that he came in and said, whatever you do, make it look dope. Hey, kids, you relate. You know, you couldn't put a dope motherfucker in there. So, you know, nah, man. You know, I like that they had the balls to try to make him cool, which he is cool. But the other thing I love in this movie, though, is that they actually, to make Xander Cage so badass, they don't care if he's actually killing good guys. You know, he just killed a whole squad of Marines in there, man. But yeah, I cannot begrudge you at all for saying that, you know, this is a bad movie, because it is.
It is. And it's a cash grab. It exists solely because, hey, they can't get enough of FF. Let's get one more of these out there.
With more multiculturalism.
Right.
For some reason, just the title of that movie makes me laugh. Return of Xander Cage.
Xander.
Who is asking for him to come back?
Yeah. Return of Xander Cage. Xander is like a spoiled, rich, trust fund white kid. Yeah.
Xander's here, man.
Richie Rich.
Wait, tell my mom. You know, this one, at number five, this is a movie that totally, I saw it and forgot that that movie existed. Otherwise, it would have made, it probably would have made my list. Definitely would have made my dishonorable mention.
I can't wait to fuck you up.
I'm sorry, what?
We're gonna handle our differences like real men.
What differences?
You got a job and I don't.
You know, that's a that's actually a funny line.
And that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Ice Cube was even funny in this, but this movie.
Nah.
This movie.
We said some good things about it though when we reviewed it. We said Ice Cube had some parts and the fight at the end was kind of cool.
We actually said the fight was cool at
the end. At times it was. But
this fight is number five.
But everything else around it was so bad, and the ad lib of the jokes, and I like Ice Cube, I like Charlie Day, but it's too much of them without a script. Just do what you do.
Mm-hmm. Scowl, make NWA jokes.
Yeah,
and scream.
Yeah, and scream. Yeah, stammer your jokes out like Charlie Day always does.
Yeah, and it ends with a talent show.
Yeah,
that's right.
I forgot about that. Yeah, fuck this movie, man. Yeah, it's a sloppy ass film, and it's got some offensive jokes in there too. Teachers fucking their students, doing math. You know, I know they're trying to be risque, but it's just it just you know, if you got to force it in, it's just offensive.
Yeah, it's got Tracy Morgan back too soon from his accident.
I actually like Tracy Morgan in here. That's one of the things I thought was wrong. I thought there wasn't enough Tracy Morgan in this movie. I almost wish that Tracy Morgan had played the Ice Cube part.
What the fuck is this? Is this a practical joke? Oh, shit. Don't have money for books, but got money for this newfangled...
All you gotta do is put in your order and it does the rest.
Coffee. You're gonna fuck that coffee machine up.
You know, Tracy Morgan was the guy who came in and kind of saved the movie for me in little parts. But again, I don't even remember this movie, so let me shut up.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm pretty much lobotomized from this film. So.
Coffee. For real, man, you see all these buttons, and you're gonna just yell at it because you're black and stupid, even though you're a teacher.
Oh, he's not black and stupid, Martin. He's just old. He's old fashioned.
He's just angry all the time.
Martin knows not to scream at coffee machines.
Yeah. Well, Martin, let's go to your number four movie right here. This is one that only disagreement I have with you on this film is that it wasn't higher on your list.
We thought we could just roll and tumble, live from song to song. Kiss to kiss.
And yeah, you heard the title right there. Song to Song is your number four movie.
Song to Song Squad.
That shit puts you in a bad mood. Your face and demeanor just changed up from seeing that.
I despise these kind of movies, man. These pretentious ass fucking art films that everybody gets tricked over.
You have got to see Knight of Cups.
No, I don't.
Man, yeah, you got to see Knight of Cups. Knight of Cups is terrible.
Shit, I watch real cups before I see this.
I watch this. And you watched Knight of Cups.
Imagine, you haven't seen this?
I have not seen
Deal.
This.
Deal. All right.
Imagine this same movie set in L.A. but in black and white.
What? You mean they put an extra layer of pretentiousness on that shit, black and white?
Yep.
Color's the only thing they got going for this fucking movie right here. Oh, kiss my ass, man. Fuck you. I ain't even seen this movie, man.
No, let's watch them back to back one Saturday.
Oh, hell no, man.
Let's do it.
I got a life. I got a wife.
Wait, wasn't one of the things about Knight of Cups, too, is that you never saw anybody talk? It was just like,
yeah. Oh, that's right. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
That was another level of pretension.
That's right.
Oh, I can't wait.
Shit!
I mean, it's 90 minutes of Christian Bale monologuing, with bits of dialogue where no one's mouth moves.
They're just looking at each other walking on the beach. But anyway, song to song.
Yeah, and that's kind of what this feels like, except it's in color. Like you said, and the lip sync is on point here.
Yeah. What I would say that makes this worse is that this has way more ad-libbing from these actors who don't know what they should be saying. And it takes place in Austin. It's an Austin travelogue, and if you live here, well, if you're newly here from California, you go like, wow, look at all these great things in the city you can do. And if you just somebody who lives here, you're like, wow, look at all that shit I can't afford to do.
It really was. Well, the way we were describing it in our reviews, cut the download. The way we were describing our reviews was, imagine you're one of those assholes who comes down for South by Southwest and you just wave your all access platinum badge in front of everybody's faces mm-hmm. and say, look what you can't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm backstage.
Yeah. I got rubbing at this cool ass penthouse condo that you can never afford to even look at.
Wait,
yeah.
You got a backstage pass? Why are you out here talking to me? Yeah. Oh, I just want to let you know. I'm going back over there.
See you. Yeah. This, fuck this, man. I'm mad at you for not putting it hard. This is, oh, I hate this movie. I hate this movie so much.
I'm sorry. I had two other movies I hated more.
And you know what? And it's funny because this is, again, what Martin's saying. I said this point has to be stressed. These are A-list actors who are horrible because they have no direction. Mm-hmm. They can't ad-lib to save their lives here, man. Fuck this film. Fuck this for making these people look bad. Oh, let's go ahead and go to number 3. And I don't even know if this made my...
Oh, it wasn't on your list.
No, was it on my dishonorable mention?
No, I don't think it was.
All right. Then I must have enjoyed something about this. It must have been so bad it was good. But Martin says, no, it's just plain bad.
Process of purification away from the pressures of the modern world.
You plan to take Mr. Pembroke back with you?
Mr. Pembroke?
Is that a problem?
He's my best friend.
Not a prisoner.
A Cure for Wellness is your number 3 movie.
A Cure for Thinking Dane DeHaan is a good actor. What you remember how good the trailer looked?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's still a good looking film.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good look. It shows you that being a good looking film can at sometimes mean nothing. This kicked off the year of films being sold as something other than what they were. Because this looked like it was going to be some kind of cool sci-fi horror movie. And really, it's more of a mystery that drags and drags and drags. And when it finally gets to the point of the horror, it's so exploitive and disgusting and laughable. Laughably
so. It's a video game. It turns into Resident Evil.
Yeah. But just the final, like, okay, this is what this is all about. It's such a... You have got to be fucking kidding.
Yeah. Oh, we all said
please,
that.
Please yeah. Tell me you're not doing this. You just did it.
I heard at the audience, you heard so many, not even joking, I joke about this all the time, but you heard several people in the audience say, what the fuck?
Yeah. Laughing at
yeah. That's one of the reveals.
Yeah. We were there included.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been on that list of like, it's so bad, but it's laughable, but it's boring.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so boring.
Yeah.
To get to where it's going. And man, you could not have picked a worse leading man than Dane DeHaan. He's just not that material. He's at best a character actor, and I don't know, with so much of this, he just lost so much of his charm for me. I'm okay not seeing him anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Breaking up with Dane DeHaan.
Oh.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't mind seeing him again, especially if he makes me laugh like he did in this movie right here.
Isolated. Yeah. When these two guys do an impression of him, that's funny.
Yeah. He's like the love child of Leonardo DiCaprio and Steve Buscemi.
Oh, but you kind of got something right.
Yeah, 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 man.
Both of those people can act.
Yes, they can.
This is, man. It's a Gore Verbinski movie, too. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like you had a director who had some clout who came in.
Yeah.
And they said, well, everybody loves him for his visuals.
He made it look beautiful. I get that.
And studios were like, well, good, because that's all we got.
Exactly.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into the number 2 movie, Winding It Down. The number 2 movie, which was actually higher for me, is...
There's another missing woman. We got the missing person's call.
Who's missing?
Sylvia Otterson.
I'm Sylvia Otterson.
Why would someone report you missing?
Somebody just wrote that I had a twin at the last minute.
Kind of. Yeah, reported her missing, and she had half the script with her.
Yeah, we've all shared kind of the same criticisms of this movie of why it is so bad. But Martin, I'm sure you got something new to add to it, too.
Well, the only thing I would add, because you guys really covered it pretty well, because you had it so – you had number 1 on your list.
Thing is, I loved and hated this movie at the same time. And I actually love it more.
It's fun to laugh at in retrospect.
Yeah.
But just at the time watching it, it's just confusing, a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's either boring or it's confusing. But then once you start to figure out what it is – then it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a joke. And then to find out that there's parts of it that are just flat out missing, mm-hmm. you're like, well, I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah, why does this movie even exist if you can't finish it?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I guess money was spent already, and it was past the point of no return, but who even greenlights something and go like, yeah, but you can't show that part, sorry.
It's another movie that also makes his actors look bad.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
Michael Fassbender
is just not having a good time
lately. He is not, man. Back to back with all these bad movies, man, and J.K. Simmons, who's been on a roll, they made him look like an amateur.
Yeah, he looks terrible.
I mean, fortunately, his role is small.
Yeah.
So you can almost kind of forget that he's in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that he's speaking with that accent.
That fake-ass British accent. Some people just can't do it, man. You know, and I don't blame you for trying because, you know, we got all these Brits who come over here and they do our accents and we get jealous and mad. So I don't blame y'all for trying, but, you know, J.K. Simmons is somebody. I'm trying to find a picture of him here.
He did that accent as if they told him when he showed up that he had to do it.
Surprise!
Yeah. Like they made him do this. Like, J.K. Simmons, he was seen as somebody who's kind of flawless right now.
It looks like they told him right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to do an accent.
What? You want me to do what? Pip, cheerio, okay. Yeah, you know, that's one of those guys who looked like he had it down, and we see that. Every actor has their limits, man.
I put it at number two because it's one of those movies. Some of these you may rent and you could probably go, wow, or just ignore. I think if you rent this movie, you'd sit there watching it, trying to figure out what your brain hurt. And only at the end go like, wow, that was completely unsatisfying.
I would recommend this movie to film students and people who – and script writers because it really is – I mean, you have some movies that are so professionally made that you know you don't like it. You know it's bad, but sometimes you may have a hard time picking it out. Mm-hmm. This is the problems in this movie are blatant. Mm-hmm. Technically, narratively, and creatively, everything is there's chunks missing. It's totally inept in what it's trying to do with this editing. That's one of the things about you want to see some really bad editing in effect. Usually have to wait for like smaller movies and mm-hmm. you know and B movies to see that. This is a major Hollywood A-list movie where the editing looked like it was done by an 8-year-old. This is horrible.
Characters' motivations don't make sense. Mm-hmm. The actual villain, the guy everybody's looking for. There's no reason he was never suspected.
And yeah, they picked the silliest ass gimmick for the killer to have. He makes these cute snowmen who actually look like they are really, really having a hard time. You know, they got all
those. They're
not scary. They're just sad.
Kill me.
So yeah, man. Let's go to number one. A lot of people expected the snowman to be your number one movie. So they're saying, wow, if that's not it, then what could number one be? And number one, the dishonor goes to, do you?
I have no idea.
You want to take a guess?
No.
Okay. Well, you see it.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah.
Because he said it wasn't Chip, so I would have no idea what it is.
All right, well, dun, 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 dun. The number one dishonorable, shitty-ass movie of 2017 is.
No.
This is your prophecy.
Young man.
This is your prophecy.
Faint and weary.
I know what kind of a man you are.
What is that, my lord, my dearie?
I know your story.
Behold! The man who pulled sword from
Martin, out of everything that was on this list and a few other movies, why number one?
Because this movie, it's offensive and how arrogant it is. There's so much hubris going on in it with the, I'm going to take this. Now, there's all kinds of different interpretations of the King Arthur legend. Mm-hmm. People fudge things here and there. They combine characters. But this is just, well, I got the name King Arthur, and from here, I figure I can tell my own story. It'll be fine. But he does this, it's some kind of slow-mo or making every shot something special. Yeah. The Zack Snyder's slow-mo speed up. Nothing can just be a regular scene with two people talking and delivering actual dialogue. It's all overblown. And it's all goofy. It's like it's written mm-hmm. by an 11-year-old who's like, yeah, I'm going to do King Arthur, but I'm going to make it badass.
Oh, you know what? Because I paused it on something. Just because of that reason, they said he's not only going to be badass, but he's going to be about them streets.
Yeah.
You know, they actually put this in the trailer.
On the streets.
Raised on the streets.
Yeah. Speaking in that Cockney Chav dialect.
Soccer hooligans.
That did not exist then. But sure, man. go for it. You want to make a King Arthur for the people. But what he really made was more of a He-Man movie. That's all I could think this was, especially by the end where the sword had all kinds of magical powers and there's demons and a giant snake. I'm like, is this Aladdin now? What is going on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and it's funny, too, because when we were talking about this, we were talking about how you'd want to talk about some hubris right here. They're like, man, not only are we going to like tell the story of King Arthur and make that shit badass, but we're going to make our own Marvel universe.
Yes.
Marvel and King Arthur do not mix together.
The Excalibur universe.
I could think only favorably, I could think, well, at that time where every studio was wanted a universe,
mm-hmm.
maybe that's what he had to say to sell it.
Yeah.
And I can make a universe out of it. Each knight can have their own movie.
Do you realize that this is just one movie? They tried to make six more of these.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
There was going to be six shitty movies that spun off from this. Yeah, this is – you're right, man. The nerve.
Yeah. all through it. And so much nerve, so much – once again, Guy Ritchie, man, so much style. Just dripping with style. Just pouring everywhere. Substance, who's got time for that?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was him just trying to do what he does. He was trying to bring Snatch and all that hooligan, chabby gangster, British gangster shit to King Arthur. Not a bad concept.
Well, I mean, he got to smelling himself because he did a great job with Sherlock Holmes, updating that and put that movie out when nobody was thinking about Sherlock Holmes. And mm-hmm. suddenly there's a flood of Sherlock Holmes stuff everywhere. And then later he moves on to The Man from U.N.C.L.E., where it's a lot of style, not a whole lot of substance, but there's Die Hard to love Man from U.N.C.L.E. who still like that movie.
Oh, really? Okay.
But here, but once he's got the like, ooh, I got the vapors, he went way too far.
All right. Well.
L.L. Bean clothing design. Yeah.
Banana Republic motherfuckers up in here. You know what, Martin? Take a breather right now. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if I can bring up, because I forgot, I'll keep this one up here, but I'm going to see if I can bring up your dishonorable mentions.
Oh, okay.
I think, Sammy, I have your list, but I'm going to see if Sammy actually made some artwork for this. I know he did. I just dropped the ball and didn't get it. But if I don't find it, then we'll go ahead and let me go over here. We'll go ahead and get to Gertz, and maybe I'll look up the dishonorable mentions after you guys both do your worst of list. Let me go over here and find this, because as you know, there are so many bad movies that come out, and so many good movies. When you only have 10 slots,
mm-hmm.
you can't fit them all on there. You have to actually mention them in some way. Oh, there we go. There we go. Martin, I do have your dishonorable mentions up. And do you remember what those were? Man, I can't remember my real list. Well, Martin, again, I'm surprised to see some of these, because some of these you defended. And let me refresh your memory of what you said here. Okay. Well, you got Chips on there. You got Transformers. You have, what is that?
Ghost in the Shell.
Rock Dog, you actually said, I'm not offended by this. This is all right.
Yeah, but it's still bad.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, you got on me about that. Kingsman, yeah. I forgot to put that on my list. Kingsman 2. That's really bad. What is that?
Rough Night.
I actually like Rough Night. And,
for real? Oh, yeah. You're the guy.
Yeah. Yes. I am. Yes, I'm that guy. That's me.
I'm Scarlett Johansson would kiss you right now.
Yeah. Oh, well, No.
You're thinking about Girls Trip, I hope.
No. I'm thinking about, I saw your girl, right? I don't even mind. Like, no, you said it. You got to keep that shit. Fuck you. I keep that shit. No, because that movie's horrible. Rough Night? Yeah. That movie's bad.
What are you thinking about?
I saw your girl from Bride City.
Alana.
And I, for some reason, this is how mixed up I am. I was thinking about that Christmas movie that she was in.
Oh, The Night Before?
The Night Before.
Yeah.
You know, both those movies have Night and her. And I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking, because Scarlett Johansson was nowhere in there.
No, she was.
That movie.
Sounds like you liked Rough Night.
Maybe I had a rough night.
That was a rough night movie.
Yeah, no, that movie's a piece of shit. No, it was bad. I don't even know what Gru, what is it?
Despicable Me.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You never like those movies. My Little Pony, that was one of my fuck yous for the year, and it should have been on my list, but I found a way to put it off. Table 19, yeah, that was pretty bad. 17, 19, whatever it was.
Yeah, it was 19.
It was 19. Mm-hmm. I remember that the Lego Kill Jogo movie.
With Ninjago.
Ninjago, yeah. I didn't hate it as much as you did, but yeah, I will agree. No need for it to exist.
He loved that cat in that laser part.
I want that movie. I want that cat to go up against Godzilla. All right. Now, Martin, I can retire myself from you, and I can take my hat off to you, Mr. Gertz.
Okay.
And we can move on to your worst films of 2017. Mm-hmm. Are you ready, sir?
Yeah.
Now, you have the advantage of actually looking at the screen. Martin did not. Do you remember?
I do remember what I had at number 10. Number 10, I had Transformers.
You were correct.
I want to stay, and I want to fight them.
And now, two worlds colliding.
They got this fool in here talking like this shit is Shakespeare.
Yeah, man. And they did him so dirty.
Yes. Blew his ass up.
Megatron. Or they had to try to have him run.
Yeah.
He has the gall to say, quickly, and before he...
And we're talking about Anthony Hopkins. Respected that. He's reached that age where he don't give a fuck.
Got him narrating
Transformers like that shit is the Bible.
Like it's a World War II movie.
Yeah. Our race is over. We're not giving up, okay? Only one survives.
I mean, they really make it look like something urgent is happening. Like shit matters.
And they was taking their time in this movie.
Yeah.
I always feel with these movies like they're all the same movie. It's hard for me to distinguish one from the
other.
They are. But this one stood out as something, they were doing something different. It was just worse.
Yeah, they brought in King Arthur.
Yes, they did.
He was
they
back.
Because we just don't need to be messing with King Arthur.
Yeah. And that shit alone.
This movie opens with a drunk Stanley Tucci recruiting robots in medieval times. The sheer amount of stupidity.
As Merlin.
The sheer amount of stupidity on display in this movie is fucking impressive.
And that aspect ratio.
Yes. Oh my, like, man, yeah, the aspect ratio changes multiple times within the same scene. Mm-hmm. Within the same scene.
His letterbox and then his cracker box.
Yeah. If you had an issue with, like, Christopher Nolan doing it and, like, at points in some of his movies, man, here, I don't know what the fuck they were doing at all. There's a few things keeping this from being lower on my list. One, I don't think it's the worst out of all the Transformers movies. I still think 4 and 2 are worse than this one. I guess, never mind, take it back. That's the only thing. Being lower on my list. Huh? Like, it really is just like, it's incredible to watch just how something this stupid and this expensive got made 5 times.
Man, you know what? You actually even went further with the point that makes me even more upset at this movie, because I talked about how this is one of the biggest fuck yous to people, mm-hmm. who viewers of this film in Hollywood, because they don't give a fuck anymore. They just make them. They don't have a story. They just make them. And I forgot how goddamn stupid it started. Like, yes. From the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
Stanley Tucci with that fake ass beard coming out with a bottle in his hand.
And even before that, when it's, I think it's just the Paramount logo and there is fire behind it.
Yeah.
Just like, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Just show you, they're blowing up shit from the beginning.
Yes.
Oh. This movie just feels like stuff is just happening.
Yeah, I thought the slave shit would have. He found out the Autobots were helping the slaves.
Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman, and found out that, oh, they were hanging out with Merlin too?
Yeah, that shit is insulting.
That's fucking insulting when you put Harriet Tubman in the same world as Merlin.
But I was like, wait, you guys didn't want to mention this within these first four movies?
No, they keep changing up the story. Like, the first one is like, yeah, Transformers just got here. Then the second one is like, oh, they've been here since pyramid times. The third one is like, oh, well, they've been here since dinosaur time. Yo, pick one.
They've been here from a different fantasy dimension.
Yeah, it's like, man,
this is...
And somehow the effects get worse. Like, if you watch the first one again, the effects in the first one look better than they do in this one. And that first movie, it, how long ago was that made?
2006 or something?
Yeah, it's old.
this movie is just, it is a really big fuck you. It's like, we're making our money. It doesn't matter what we just,
you guys
we
are going to see this anyway, why should we spend the money?
It's almost they made this script as ridiculous as it was. Just to troll people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no, you have to try to get as crazy with a script like this. Because normally it would just be like, we're just going to run and blow up some shit. No, we're going to hang with Merlin.
Yep.
We're going to go to the Civil War.
We're going to hide from people in a glass car.
We're in World War II, but we got Dinobots. I mean, God damn it. Yeah, man, let's go ahead. Now, this one has already been covered by Martin, so we're not going to get too deep into it. Your number 9 movie is
A Cure for Wellness.
Yeah, now what's your thing here?
Man, I hate movies that like just crawl up their own ass when they think they're about something deep. And the way this movie is made, you can tell that's what they thought they had. This like deep, intriguing mystery, what's going on in this old ancient hospital. And then when it's revealed what it is, it's like, yo, it's a place run by a rapey Skeletor. that's the end game that you have on display here? Yeah. Wow, okay.
It was a mask the whole time.
This shit sucks. Ass. And the only things keeping it from being lower, it is really pretty. I can't deny that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the setup is actually kind of interesting. But that's about it.
We need you to find Pembroke.
Yeah, that has an interesting setup, and it's like, okay, and some really cool shots. Like that one with the train.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that in the trailer going like, ooh, that looks cool. It, there's a lot of talent that's just really squandered here. I mean, we've seen Gore Verbinski make good movies. We've seen Dane DeHaan be good in things. I agree with you exactly, Martin, when you said he's more of a character actor. Mm-hmm. That's what he did in Chronicle, and I thought he was good in that.
Yeah.
They need to stop trying to make him a leading man. And Jason Isaacs, I think he's trying the hardest out of anybody here, and even he can't do shit.
He's got a thankless role.
He really does.
Well, yo, Jason Isaacs, you're talking about James Bond?
Yeah. Well, no.
you're talking about Man Right Here or whatever. I think he played a spy.
Captain
Lorca. Yeah, he... Not only does he have a thankless role, they gave him the most ridiculous shit in the movie to try to make believable.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead and get to number 8. Something that you and I have in common.
The house. You want to make money like Vegas? You got to look like Vegas. We've got a nail salon, massages. You're never going to believe what's in this next room.
Is it a strip club?
That's actually kind of funny. Which, I think that's what I was saying, some funny concepts that they just couldn't get down.
Yeah, the setup is there, but this movie had no script. It was like they wrote a sentence, and they're like, here it is.
Now ad lib.
Yeah, this whole entire movie is just ad lib throughout the whole thing. And kind of like A Cure for Wellness, there are talented people involved here, and it's just squandered. They have nothing to work with. And it's a movie that feels smug because of it. It's like, well, we've got some of the funniest SNL folks that have ever been on the show, ever. They got this. They can just do this. They're just that funny. We're just that funny. We don't need a script. What's that shit? No. We can turn anything into comedy gold. Fuck you. No, you can't. This movie made me furious. It's a comedy that didn't make me laugh once, which is a trend that reappears on my list quite a bit.
It's funny because speaking of trends, it seems that the fallout from having a great show like Breaking Bad is everywhere. This glut of things of normal people getting into criminal enterprises.
Yeah.
Well, NBC has a new show coming out with three women from other shows that are doing that. They get involved with selling drugs or something or pulling a heist. It's all this.
Yeah. They've done it so much. It can work. I mean, they've done it with like Weeds and a few other things. I mean, that's the problem with it. The movie had. And it has the advantage of being a comedy, so it can actually spoof that trend that's going on.
Yeah, they could have made like a Breaking Bad kind of parody with this, and no, they don't even attempt to do anything like that. This movie had no aspirations. It didn't set out to achieve anything.
Yeah, yes, it's sad and it's annoying. Sad what they squandered. It's annoying that it's a movie that thinks it's funny and it's not. All right, let's go ahead and look at your number 7 movie, which is...
Oh, a movie with very little talent to squander. Chips!
This job is crucial to saving my marriage.
What are you wearing?
My uniform. I thought you'd probably want to see what I look like.
In all brown? It's great, John.
It's like you're 3 beers too intimate.
I'm a tough motorcycle cop. I got no emotion.
Oh, we've all said why we hate this movie. What's your reason or reasons?
Man, like, the reason this is lower on my list than The House is, like, with The House... I understood what was trying to be achieved by the characters in the movie. It's like, I get what they're trying to do. I get what the goal is of these characters. With Chips is one of those movies, as I was watching it, it made me feel dumb because I couldn't follow what the fuck was happening. I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? What is, why, who, how are questions that popped in my head a lot while watching this. And I think, like, we've talked about Dax Shepard, and this is clearly his baby, and that's a shame because it's an ugly-ass baby. I think it's well-intentioned, but the dude's just a boob. And it sucks. It's like, I feel like even kind of, like, bad talking about it that way, but I just don't want him to try this ever again, at least not for a long fucking time. I think he needs to take a few more licks before he tries writing and directing anything.
Yeah,
like this again.
Yeah, yeah. And I will even give it. I'll as much as we talk about him for this movie because his name is all over it.
Yeah,
I'll say like Martin did. You know, the biggest disadvantage is that he had nothing to work with here. I mean, I guess so. Why was he fucking with it in the first place? But
probably because he's not getting cast. And as your philosophy is, hey, if they won't cast you, they won't pick you. Do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess he really thought that maybe he could do something with that. It was the wrong project to do that with.
Probably the cheapest property he could get his hands on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even then, like, say, like, yeah, you're right. There's not a whole lot to go off with Chips. Like, it could have still had a plot.
I'm not letting this move off the hook.
Yeah.
Oh, Gertzen had three.
and Vincent D'Onofrio literally changing size throughout the whole movie, too. That's something I think we have all talked about.
Yeah. This is one I thought would have been higher on your list, the way we went off on this movie. And we already covered this movie tonight, The Snowman.
Yes. Like Chips, this is another one of those movies where it made me feel really dumb while watching it because I was having trouble following it. And my initial response whenever I don't get something is like, okay, let me think this through. What did I miss? I look at myself. And then I saw this a second time and I was like, oh, no, this isn't on me. there are chunks of this missing. And the same thing happened with Chips. I saw Chips a second time because I felt like I owed the movie that at the very least, if I'm going to possibly put it in my bottom 10.
I owe Chips.
Hey, if it's going to be on my bottom 10, I got to give it a fair shot.
You are fair.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm going to hate on something, I want to have a good reason for it. And there are a lot of good reasons to hate on this shit. And I think there is potential here. Everyone raves about this book, and it's also got a really good cast with Michael Fassbender, Val Kilmer, and J.K. Simmons. But it is just so needlessly convoluted and confusing. And when it does have those big reveals, it's like, oh, well, yeah, duh.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah. And I will say,
are you sure you're a detective?
Yeah. It's like the most talented detective on the force passes out on park benches. So, like, wakes up in other people's houses and shit.
Well, that would have been cool had he actually done that more, because they say how he's an alcoholic, and we see him, like, take a sip of something.
Yeah, yeah.
Take a sip of something, he just knocks out shit. Yeah.
He's like Dynasty.
Yeah, exactly. I drink.
And I will say, like, the second time I watched this, I was like, okay, I remember you mentioning this, Martin, Val Kilmer. I was like, oh, there is a reason why he's there. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to be there.
No.
But I get why he's there. And that just made me, like, realize, yeah, this really is a fucking mess, more so than anything. Because the first time I saw this, I had trouble staying awake.
Oh, yeah.
It was putting me to sleep in the theater. It was the hardest movie to stay awake in for me all year, hands down.
Yeah. Feels bad for that director, too, because he was actually filming things, and they were telling him actively at the time of filming, yeah, you can't use that no more.
Right.
He's like, well, I ain't got no fucking movie, man.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got a contract, and you got to finish this shit.
It's one of those, like, normally if it's a movie I hate, I can usually, like, point at, like, a person or two, be like, you fucked this up. This is on you. And with this, it's like, I don't think there is that here. No. It really is just an abortion that was born anyway.
I live.
Yeah.
That's your number six movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of people knew this was going to come up, but they didn't expect it to be at number five.
Smurfs, The Lost Village. Yep.
Sometimes I just feel blue.
Sick of an overprotective papa?
The Forbidden Forest is forbidden. You're grounded.
Dang. Papa Smurf be bossy.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many reasons why
You motherfuckers all gave this movie a pass.
Yeah, we did.
How dare you? How dare you?
It was not that bad. Yeah, I don't know how to take it back.
You get heated over some childish shit.
No, this is why you went first, Mark.
Yes, exactly.
Every single fucking thing we complain about animated movies doing, this movie does repeatedly, repeatedly. You have celebrities who aren't voice acting. They're just shouting. You have Smurfs trying to talk in hip and happening lingo. You have unremarkable animation. They put blue yabba-dee yabba-dye in a Smurfs movie. You ought to be a goddamn shame of yourself if you worked on this.
Well,
where was that passion with Boss Baby?
Hey, that's your axe to grind, sir. That is your axe to grind, man.
Don't want none of this.
I don't know what else to say about this shit, man. I'm flabbergasted that people were just like, oh, it's not that bad. Are you out of your fucking mind?
Did I not give it some bullshit?
No! You gave it a rental!
I gave it a rental.
You all gave it a rental.
I think I gave it a bad name. It bothered me.
It wasn't as bad as those live-action Smurf movies.
No, it was not.
It definitely was not.
I think what happened was with this is that... Just hear us
just
out.
Don't. Just, you're going to make it worse.
I will hear nothing! No, I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. I think what happened was is that underneath those things you said, there were spots and plenty of them where they were getting the Smurf property down.
Yeah.
Okay.
This movie made me go drink afterwards. I went right to a bar after this movie ended, and it ended at 11:30 in the morning.
See, I don't think maybe that's it. I just don't think that a Smurf movie should drive you to drink.
Well, they found a way.
Yeah, so much invested.
They found a way. I wasn't looking forward to this.
It's the Smurfs.
Yeah, why are you mad?
I just don't want Smurfs to do this to you, man.
Smurfs told me to drink. The Smurfs made you drink.
I don't care why you're giving it a pass. I don't feel
like we're giving it a pass.
Yeah, I think you are.
I feel like you're being really hyperbolic.
I think you're
it, it wasn't one where I was just like, eh, it's bad, but you go ahead and go through. I was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
I expected worse.
Like, there's a lot of things in here that I was like, all right, I expected much worse, and it did better than I thought it was going to do.
It really did. You had Smurf skateboarding and shit. The shit that you rail on Alvin and the Chipmunks. The shit you rail on
Alvin and
the Chipmunks,
they were trying too hard to be hard. You know, these Smurfs weren't trying to be gangster.
They weren't
shit.
Rapping.
Yeah, they were just going through the trees and shit.
Yeah, they got to get around the forest some kind of way.
They did the same thing Tarzan did. You give a fuck you to Tarzan?
What?
Tarzan skated in trees.
Yeah, he did.
But not on an actual skateboard.
No, he didn't do ollies and kickflips and shit. He swung on vines like he does in fucking Tarzan.
I'm pretty sure he was barefoot on some trees, but whatever. Apparently this means a lot to you.
Why y'all doing this?
No, you're right. No,
he came at us first, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he started
this shit. You scolded us at the beginning of this
movie. You guys are still giving this shit a pass. I can't believe this.
I can't believe you this mad over this movie.
Even when
we reviewed it, I was like, why are you this upset over this Smurf?
Every single thing we've talked about these shitty animated movies doing, this movie does repeatedly. And it has so many resources at its disposal to not do that.
It looks pretty
I don't think
though.
It has those resources.
Man, it had way more than Rock Dog. Way more than fucking Rock Dog. The amount of, like, the cast they had in this, the budget they had on this.
The thing is, what you say cannot be argued. We just didn't see it that deep. And the thing is, we're not doing this because we were trying to get the movie a pass. We're just doing this because we care. You know, we don't want you to, you know, your health, man. We don't want you getting high blood pressure over some fucking cartoons.
Yeah, maybe we should just end this segment. We're only at number six.
No, we're at number five.
This is five.
We're at number five. Yeah. Hump day. Well, you know what?
Well, I hope we all hated the rest of these.
I'm surprised how Smurfs beat Chips.
I'm glad.
And the Snowman.
Yeah, Chips is a movie you need to be mad at. That's the one. But you know something? That's your movie, and the thing is... hey, man. But you know, we got this out the way. That's the best thing, man.
That's
number
true.
Five. That's true. It's gone. We ain't got it. We could be friends again. Let's go to number
Take
four.
Take a sip of water.
This is another movie I know Goodwin loves.
Uh-oh. Ooh.
A Bad Mom's Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my fucking God. Mom?
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Nate.
Mom?
What the actual fuck?
I'm here to see my daughter on Easter.
It's Christmas.
Christmas.
I cannot wait to spend every waking minute with you.
Oh, no.
You know, I am glad that I did not see this.
I know. I am so glad that was a screening. It was something we all wanted to see that was on the same night.
Yeah.
It was
Thor. It like Thor?
It was Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Same night as Thor. And they didn't let y'all into Thor, right?
Right.
Yeah, no, so we had to go see this.
Yeah, we had to go see this.
No. They told us we couldn't bring guests, and then after we got there, the theater was half empty.
Yeah, they said they were about to let him in.
That's right. Yeah.
But
that's
anyway, right. A Bad Mom's Christmas, a movie that I loved, apparently.
You love this shit. You were laughing at 30 seconds.
I had no desire to see this
shit. That is bullshit.
I'm fucking with you.
This is why, normally I'm just glad to see this because I don't want to waste my time. I do not want to cross you. I'm nervous in case somebody's giving you something you don't like.
I like Poking the Cobra. This is an excellent movie. This is fun.
I do remember you saying you came back and you laughed.
Yeah, I laughed. It was kind of the same thing as Smurfs. It was like, I expected this to be way worse, but it wasn't.
Okay. Well, that's between y'all now.
Choice of words.
It's your
punishment. I know what I'm doing.
I mean, if you love watching famous women talk about dicks a lot, then I guess this is the movie for you, because that's pretty much what every fucking joke in this movie is. I have these famous actresses, the majority of which aren't comedians, just reciting really poorly written dick and sex jokes throughout the whole thing because they're bad moms. And you kind of forget that they're moms throughout a lot of the movie because there's very little of them dealing with their actual kids.
Yeah.
And it focuses more on their moms. And I guess that's where the title is coming from. I don't know. Now, to be fair to this movie, I did not see the first one. So there might be things in there that I'm not
– You didn't.
That I'm not getting.
You missed nothing.
That movie's awesome.
You know what? I only wish you'd seen it.
Okay.
Because then you'd have some perspective, and then you might look at this and go like, okay, well, it wasn't as bad as that one.
Uh-huh.
Unless this is worse.
Yeah, who knows? I honestly don't know. But yeah, this is like it's kind of like The House all over again, except I felt like this movie was just – I found it way, way more irritating and obnoxious.
Yeah. I could be wrong, but I have a hard time believing that Cheryl Hine is – old enough to be Kristen Bell's mom. Mm.
Yeah, and there were other things in here that I can actually see. It made me groan watching the trailer. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to see if I can even find it here. Oh, there it is right there. It's like, hey, you know what? That's a that's a basic go-to dick joke, or in this case, a tank joke.
A human being in my entire life.
I can pull my butt crack open for you if you want.
No one's ever asked if they could help.
Oh, let's mention a body part. And get laughs with no real context.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much every joke, and I use the term loosely, in this movie.
There you go then. All right. Well.
I know you love it.
I believe you.
I'm
glad you do.
I know.
Well, somebody.
I know Goodwin loved this movie.
Okay.
Maybe you two can watch it again, and maybe he can fill you in.
Yeah, you didn't watch this twice. You said, I got to be fair with all my top 10 movies. I watched them twice.
Maybe he can fill you in on the nuances that you missed the first time.
Yeah. I'll pause it. Like, did you miss? There's some stuff going on in the background that you didn't see.
Maybe there's more in that ass than we realized. You know, you just didn't go deep enough.
If you don't see the lily painting back there meaning something, and you didn't see that.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That makes that whole scene hilarious.
It's a metaphor.
But wouldn't that be the best if you watched both movies and came back with an understanding like, okay.
I'm wrong.
Sorry. Yeah, I get it now.
Another thing, just real quick, another thing this movie has working against it is it tries to work in a fucking Christmas message too.
Yeah, that does seem like an afterthought.
Yeah. And as someone who, surprise, I fucking hate Christmas, it makes this shit far worse.
This is shit I put up with.
No one makes you put up with this.
Obviously, somebody gave him Smurfs for Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, I'm ready for Christmas this year.
We should all get together and just get him a Smurf movie. Three bags with number Smurfs.
No, the name would be this to fill his car while he's at work. Fill his car with stuffed Smurfs.
Oh, man.
It just opens up
with the blue playing on the radio.
What happened?
He had a stroke. Okay.
Well, I think we're moving into some safe territory now.
Yeah, I think the next ones are... Well, actually, well, yeah, I don't think they'll be as controversial.
I think from here on that we're all going to be in the same kind of area.
Yeah.
Here. We're all going to get along from this point because I know this one right here. The only thing I can say about it is that we just have it in two different places. Your number three movie is...
Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
Oh, I like this
Hey,
one.
Man, sick
What the fuck? No,
People got dead up there for real.
I ain't scared of nothing.
What is it, Mabel?
Bam, hush, damn.
I don't like this.
You all right, little kid?
I laughed at that scene. Oh, my God. I thought it was one funny joke in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see what I put up
he
with?
He said, I thought I hit a deer. And he said, the deer has a dress on. He said, oh, she must be transitioning. I was like, oh, okay.
You see,
I like it. See, you say I like it.
See,
thank you, Kevin. Thank you.
That joke is bad, man.
Yeah, oh, no, it's awful. Bad, but I laughed because it was bad.
You know... I'm just surprised.
I can't condone this.
This is in different places for us because this is out of all the movies out there that we have talked about that are bad, this is the one that betrayed us.
Yes, yeah. That's why it's so low on my list is because after we saw the first Boo A Madea Halloween, it was like a movie that was bad, but we were all on the same page. It's like there are a few jokes in that movie that actually worked, that actually caught us off guard, that were actually pretty funny. None here, none whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Like, as a filmmaker who has a history of not giving a fuck, like this is the least amount of fucks I think he's ever given in any movie. And don't you give me that look. You know, I
remember you laughing a couple times in this.
Like what?
You laughed at some of the stuff some of the stuff that Joe said you laughed at.
No, I didn't.
He hated
ones.
Joe, I think.
No, he hated Joe because he kept repeating it. But when he first popped up, he had a couple ones. You're like, huh, all right.
No.
Okay.
That did not happen at all.
Remember how you want to?
I laughed at Boo 1. We both laughed at Boo 1. Mm-hmm. I'll cop to that. But this, no. This movie didn't make me laugh once.
Yeah. I walked her on the phone.
I was miserable.
True confession, I was mad at y'all. With your review from one.
Oh, they ain't a confession. We know that.
Yeah, you told us while we were reviewing it.
You scolded us.
But I was happy that y'all got what you got with the second one. Because of your first review, that's why that second one exists. And that's just what you get.
You know what? First of all, you can't do that fairly to us because you didn't see that first one. Yeah, you don't know, man. You might have enjoyed it because it's funny. You don't know. You haven't seen it. You don't know. You can't scold us for that. Now you can get us on this one right here. No, you can't even do that because we had expectations. Believe it or not. Yeah, believe
that's
it or
your
not.
Fault. We did go in this movie with expectations.
I will take fault for that, but we did
set y'all up.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe and them goddamn bitch jokes.
The pimping.
Yeah, bitch. I'm a pimp.
Something's going on inside.
They're gonna make me throw up.
There's a party tonight. It's at Lake Derrick.
Where the people got killed. Are you crazy?
And the same thing they repeated from the last movie. Yeah. A party.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This guy, man. I'm upset with myself now because it should have been higher on my list.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you have it?
I think I had it at number 9.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it was in there, you know. But, yeah. You want to go to number? You got anything more to say? You want to go to number 2?
I don't think so. I think we've said all
it speaks for itself.
Number 2.
All right, then let's go to this is one where I'm gonna get jumped on because I still actually say I enjoyed this movie. I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna say it's even a good movie, but it's a movie I did enjoy for the visuals. I had fun with it, but I understand people's dislike of it. Your number 2 movie is
Valerian in the City of a Thousand.
Just Grace. You flirt, I smile.
Yeah, we're a team.
You know, I get it, man. It's a goofy-ass movie, and it did bomb. And I remember some people, they did, like, if you got a Rotten Tomato score, see, people were saying, at least I had fun watching it. I guess I'm following that crowd. But a lot of people saying, man, well, taking it all in, it's a shitty film.
Why don't have all of Dane DeHaan's recent movies, like, they're great to have on, like, in the background, but never to, like, sit and watch them.
Wow, I forgot that he was in this, too.
Yeah
so that's another part to my case of don't make him a leading man.
No, he's horribly miscast.
And then having the Enchantress be the leading woman, not a good look either.
Yeah. I'm not going to be as hard on Dane DeHaan as you guys are,
ooh.
But the reason why...
why not?
Because here's the thing. They miscast him because in everything he's in, they try to make him like a hardcore leading man. He's a, you know, he's a hard detective in something. He's an adventurer in something else. And mm-hmm. everything he's in, he looks like a little boy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, even in stuff he's not doing that. When he was your boy Harry in Spider-Man, he was terrible. And he wasn't trying to be this hard-ass guy. He was like, I'm your friend, Peter. Yeah. Why is it? Like, yeah. Yeah, like, even he was terrible in that. And he only had like 20 minutes in that movie. And he was a main villain.
Yeah. I give that to that property right there. That property was off the hinges. But mm-hmm. this right here.
Yeah, well, this is like a Star Wars prequel that crawled up its own ass trying to have something to say. I feel like it's one of those movies that has like such – I can imagine the director behind this thinking he's like really doing something revolutionary here. And one of the worst things about it is I think the first like 5 or 10 minutes are actually pretty cool.
They're very good.
Yeah.
Like opening sequence?
Yeah, yeah, when you see all the different aliens.
And the handshakes.
Yeah. David Bowie. I was like, oh, shit, this is really cool. And then after that – the movie just takes a nosedive, and it's something – the story is something that could have been resolved within 15 minutes, and I know that for a fact because they resolved the story in a total of about 15 minutes because there's about an hour and actually close to 2 hours of just random episodic shit happening between these two characters, between Dane DeHaan and Cara Delevingne is her name. Yeah, where they're just engaging with aliens that look like they just hopped out of the Star Wars prequels. This is like the casino scene from The Last Jedi throughout the entire movie. Everything looks like a fucking cartoon. It looks fucking awful. I hate this piece of shit. Fucking hate it.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't like it, but
yeah. I think okay.
Well,
I knew this was another one. I knew it's like I hate this way more than any of you guys.
Maybe you just don't like blue creatures.
Put on Avatar.
Avatar's all right.
If you resemble a Smurf, I hate you. Well, there you go. Let's not waste any more time. Mm-hmm. Let's not get you heated any more than you need to be. I really mm-hmm. do fear for your blood pressure right now. Let's talk about the number one movie. This is not going to help. But the number one movie, and a lot of people say, I definitely can see that. What is it?
The Emoji Movie.
We are go for mess.
Shoot me.
What's he doing?
He's making the wrong face.
Yeah. Huh? What the heck?
Yeah, a lot of people say, you know, the fact that you even tried to make a movie out of emojis, that's a big, big red X on
good old Sony.
Yeah, yeah, but many reasons to dislike this movie. Yeah. What are yours?
Well, it's obvious the reoccurring theme on this list is anger.
Animation.
But this movie didn't make me angry. This movie made me really, like, bummed, like watching it. Like it made me really sad that it even got made and that it exists. Because I remember after we saw it, Goodwin and I were talking about it. Of all the movies either of us had seen this year, this was just a business decision and nothing more. There was no creative spark here. There was nothing here that felt innovative or inventive or clever. Everything here felt like it was just a bunch of old dudes in a boardroom saying, well, what can we do with this to get the youths nowadays? And it's remarkably dated at the same time. And you can tell it's made by people who are so out of touch. It is the antithesis of what the Lego movies are, at least the good ones. Mm-hmm. I could see how this concept could possibly work if you really were trying to, you know, do something with it. But they're not.
Yeah.
They're not at all. It's a movie about phones where it feels like the people making it just didn't understand how phones work. Mm-hmm. There are things that the characters do in this movie that just don't make any sense when they are talking about the context of them being in a phone.
Yeah.
The way these apps function. The fact that they portray trolls as something that – are like viruses on your phone. That's not what trolls are. Trolls are people on the internet. They don't get saved to your phone. And they aren't viruses.
Wait, it does that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
This is a part where they delete like 98% of the phone and they're like, oh no, I want to change my mind. They unplug it and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would be like the Lego movie coming in, and instead of using Legos, they use Tinker Toys. It's like, wait a minute, what? It makes no fucking sense. They do not know the rules of what they're even fucking playing with. So, of course, they can't satire it or do anything clever with it.
Yeah.
And T.J. Miller.
And T.J. Miller. And James Corden as one of the most the high five emoji.
Yeah.
As like, I'd probably say I think he and Kate McKinnon were the two most obnoxious characters in a movie.
Animated sidekick characters.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. I never saw this movie, but whenever it pops up, because you guys talk about it a lot, I just think about poor T.J. Miller parachuting into the Cannes Film Festival to promote it.
Man. I think about that poor guy who had to host it, who everybody's out there doing these cool parties, and they put this dude on a trash barge waiting for, like, big-ass costume emojis to come down.
Years from now, he'll brag to the junior correspondents about, like, hey, I made my bones. I had to be out on that barge while all the parties were going on.
I had to wait for emojis.
Fuck T.J. Miller. Yeah.
If you paid to see this in a theater, you paid to get advertised to.
Yeah.
That's what everything in this movie feels like an ad, to the point, like, I work in advertising, and if I were to show this, like, as an idea to any of my bosses, I'd be fired. Be like, get your sorry ass out of here.
But what about that shit joke? That's funny.
No, guys, I was just kidding, though.
Well, there you go. That is Gert's top 10 right there.
You can't top that top 10.
It had everything. It had everything. It had excitement. It had passion. It had anger. It had sadness.
It had blue.
And it had blue. Blue was a recurring thing. All right. That was probably
the table.
The most. That was the most dramatic top 10 I've ever seen. Well, good or bad. Thank you. Now, let's get into your dishonorable mentions.
Okay.
And I'm going to let you go through those really quick. Go ahead.
Okay. We've got Resident Evil, Monster Trucks, Bye Bye Man, Rings, King Arthur, 50 Shades Darker, Book of Henry, Sleepless.
Wow, I'm surprised about that.
I'm surprised you forgot about that.
I paid to see that too, man.
Sleepless.
Now I had a lot of other shit that was worse than Sleepless.
Yeah, okay. The Mummy and The Florida Project.
Oh, yo! Okay.
Now, this is where he gets his revenge.
Yeah. I'm not going to even fall for this shit.
Yeah.
No.
What?
No, we not, no.
What?
Thank you.
What is that?
Thank you.
Good job. Give him his gold star.
Yeah, there you go, man. Thank you. Good day. Yeah, Gert. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. All right. Good job. Fuck you. Yeah. All right.
And Willem Dafoe's looking back like, this motherfucker gave me a dishonorable mention.
Yeah. Him and that little girl.
Yeah. Little girl's like, I sure did.
Yeah. I know you didn't. All right. Even the chat, they're like, Florida Project? Really, Gertz?
I stand by my review of that movie. I almost gave that a fuck you. I hate that fucking movie.
All right. Hey, it's your list.
Yeah, man. Can't tell you what to hate and love.
I like the way you went out like that. Good night and fuck you all.
Yeah. Yep.
Got that last word. I'll give you that one. Clever. Clever girl. Clever. All right.
The shirt says it all.
No.
No.
All right. Let me see here. They got tea.
Ain't no easy grab. They got tea. Sleepless is bad, but yeah.
Thomas put that in there. I actually want
to
see this.
This supposed to be an easy grab. Man, y'all talked about it so much. I really want to see Book of Henry.
It
wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because you gave that a fuck you, right?
Did I? I think I gave it some bullshit.
I thought you gave it bullshit.
Yeah, it's something like that. When I was watching it at home, I was like, or at a friend's house, I was like, okay, like it's just passable. I don't think it's. You saw it in the theater. Right?
I gave it some bullshit because I actually enjoyed it, but it's so ridiculous.
It is very ridiculous. Yeah.
And the reason why I gave it some bullshit is because the director was just Colin Trevorrow.
Trevorrow.
Yeah, he's just coming off of Jurassic World. He's about to go into Star Wars.
Yeah.
They yanked that shit away from him quick. And he was just—he had this crazy project, a vanity project that they just let him do, and it's fucking insane. It really is. I mean, because I went through some pinpoints on why that movie's so bad.
Right.
But yeah, there you go. But I admire it. There's sometimes you admire some movie just for having the balls to do what they do.
Yeah, they attempted something.
Yeah. Let's see here. Now, you know, on the movie review extravaganza, we're known for doing trivia, but we're not going to do that tonight. As you can see, tonight is a unique and special night, and we're going to save the trivia for Sunday, because Sunday we're going to be doing an early show, and there's a movie that is coming out that we did not get a screening for. At least I'll go see it. It's Winchester. The one with a fine-ass older woman.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren. Yeah, about the Winchester House.
Right.
Which just sounds stupid because the Winchester
House. Goofy as hell.
Yeah, they try
Haven't
to. Have
they done documentaries on this?
Yeah. There has been nothing surreal about the Winchester House. I think people say it looks so weird that maybe there's ghosts in here, but they're trying to make it a straightforward horror film now.
Oh.
Yeah. The Winchester House is from the Winchester family. You know, the guy started the Winchester rifle, and he had an addiction to building onto his house.
No. That's not what happened. It was he died, and then the wife she believed in like Danielle believed in like tarot cards and shit like that. And she went and saw somebody. It was like, if you stop building on your house, the people that were killed by your husband's guns are going to come back and kill you.
Wow. Okay, so maybe they do have a horror movie.
Yeah, she just kept building
because they're like stairways that go to nothing.
Yeah, doors that open to fall like 20-foot drops.
It's like an Acme house with a coyote.
Yeah,
okay. It could be a Saw like movie.
Yeah. Oh, it could be,
or like the Collector. That sounds like they have a lot of potential.
And the Collection was good. Like the second one.
Oh yeah, I like the second one. Yeah. The second one is the Collection.
Yeah, the second one's Collection. First is the Collector.
Like, I like Saw the second one. And Cube mixed together. So we're probably, and plus we have to do the show early because you know on Sunday there is the Super Bowl. Mm. So we're not going to try to
compete. How early? What time do you want to get out?
Well, definitely want what. 5.
So you want to start at 5?
No, we want to get out at 5.
Oh, okay.
So maybe we can start at like 3 because we're just going to do that review and do a trivia.
Okay.
And unless something else happens that day, maybe there's a couple of commercials that we'll talk about that came out early before the Super Bowl. Might put that out there. So, yeah, we'll try to make it like a tight 2-hour show so we can get on our way. And speaking of getting on our way, we do have one review tonight. As we said, with the Super Bowl out there, who is bold enough or just downright stupid enough to go up against the Patriots and the Super Bowl and everything that goes
Super Bowl's not on
Sunday.
Friday.
No, it's well,
or Saturday.
It's not in England either, which this movie is for.
Well, and plus, you have to admit, you know, even today, there are a lot of people say, you know what, I am a Super Bowl fan, but I am a Gloria Graham fan more. We're talking about
who's saying this?
Somebody, they hope. Because the movie we're talking about, it's film stars. Don't Die in Liverpool. Now, it is a smaller film, and it might be a good move because with Super Bowl Sunday coming up, you do have the art snobs and the cinema snobs and the cinema.
Who don't care about the Super Bowl.
The cinema hipsters who say, you know, I'm not staying out here for the Super Bowl. I'm going to go to an art theater, ignore it all.
I'm going to hop on my unicycle and check.
Good day, sir.
Have fun with your superb owl.
Yes. I'll be eating tofu ice cream watching Gloria Graham. You know, this right here, it is a smaller movie with bigger names in there, including the woman who's the subject of it herself, Gloria Graham. Now, I know a lot of people don't know who Gloria Graham is, but you might have seen her and don't even know it. But Gloria Graham, she was beautiful, beautiful actress whose heyday was in the 40s, early 50s, and she just wasn't beautiful. She was hot. You can look at her right there. She had everything that was a perfect mix. She had that... She had that fake ass innocence, you know. Can you see my cleavage? You know, she's
Marilyn Monroe shit.
Yeah, some Marilyn Monroe shit going on. She had that sexuality that was tasteful. She had the flirting down. You know, she was a woman who she could go toe to toe with a guy that tried to come up to her in the club, because chances are, her timing and her wit and her comebacks and her humor is going to be smarter than any man. Is trying to get with it, and when I'm talking about, she make a motherfucker just mad, because she's gonna say something to you, and you're not gonna know what to say. Here's a movie that, you know, if you're into films, you might have seen this. 1953 is The Big Heat, and if you haven't, I'm sure your parents probably have, but that's a classic movie that she was in, and you'll see this scene right here where some dude he thinks he got some game trying to come up and hang with her, and she got something for his ass.
Hey, that's nice perfume.
Something new. It attracts mosquitoes and repels men.
Like, what the fuck? God, do you know who you're talking to?
He like, he was turned on. I was like, yo. Okay.
But that's the thing. You get physical, but you ain't going to hit it because it's like, God damn, I got to get with it.
Yeah.
Damn, but you just became hotter. I can't wait. Yeah,
he came up on some Harvey Weinstein shit. Yeah. Oh, how you doing tonight, Mom?
Now look here.
He didn't care. Put them arms around her, man.
Yeah.
Now, the thing with her is that she, again, talking about her timing and her humor, she was so good. The year before, she won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, and I think it was called the Bad and the Beautiful. Kirk, if I got it right, I think younger, of course, Kirk Douglas was in it, and she gave one of the best acceptance speeches that I've ever heard at the Oscars.
The winner is Gloria Graham.
You pretentious fuck.
Gloria Graham.
Gloria Graham.
Well, he doesn't have a neck.
Yeah, he looked like Oswald.
Just gurgling.
Yeah.
Gloria Graham.
He looks like Oswald Copperpot.
Yeah.
Gloria Graham.
The winner is Gloria Graham. The Bad and the Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Good. I like the way
he was like, yo.
I like the way Bob was like, damn, bitch, give me a setup for a joke. he looked like, you motherfucker.
I'm going to remember this, bitch.
he was writing a joke down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, she's she had this window where she was great, well known. A lot of people recognize her as being one of the sexiest women in Hollywood. Her drawback was how she did position herself, probably by no fault of her own, but she did not fare too well as movies became distributed more in color.
Mm-hmm.
So the color trend started to take her out. And plus, at the time that color started to be more of a presence in theaters, of course, she was getting older, and with her being the sassy sex pot in movies, the color and the age thing, you just kind of moved her a little downward to just by the time it was done doing theater, small theater in London.
Mm-hmm.
And still beautiful, as you can see. I mean, had it been today, she probably would be like the next Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
She's still gorgeous, man.
Yeah.
Now, what's the lead up for this film here? Well, the thing with this movie is dealing with her where she is older. And this is her in London, Liverpool, and she's preparing for a play. And this is how she had – and here's the thing about her being older too. Don't let me forget to mention that, yeah, she got older and maybe her film roles diminished, but she still had some play. She would dog young dudes.
She had groupies too.
She didn't give a fuck. She seduced her teenage stepson. She didn't care, man. And got these dudes in love. These younger dudes. When I'm saying younger, I'm talking about almost three times as young. One of her most meaningful relationships was with a guy named Peter Turner. As you can see over there, he kind of looks like a drunk, bald, and what's his name in Obi-Wan Kenobi? Ewan McGregor. Yeah, it's a bad picture right here. He kind of looks like a young Ewan McGregor. But hey, she's like, I'm old. I'll take what I can get.
I say he looks older than she does.
Yeah. He actually does with that bald head.
Yeah.
I think he was only 26 at the time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I told you, she strung these dudes out to the point where this guy, he's like, shit, the loving was so good, I got to write a memoir. And that's where you get Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. And that is Peter Turner right there. He's 26. She's almost 70.
Oh, right there?
I think that might be the case. Yeah.
Wow.
If I'm looking at the right picture. Now, this movie is about their relationship the relationship was meaningful because she was probably at the most desperate point in her life and the most vulnerable point in her life. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy that truly loved her, that none of that mattered. Let's go ahead and take a look at the trailer for Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool. And I think we all saw this except for you.
I did not see this.
Yeah, you did not. Well, don't worry. Like I always say, we got you.
Hey, you're the next door guy, right?
Which makes you the girl next door. What's her name?
Gloria Graham. Big name in black and white films.
Never heard of her.
Won an Oscar too, if memory serves.
Big fans of Gloria we were.
Me and your mom.
Is this like a date or... What kind of a person hangs out in a joint where you're labeled on the lampshade anyway?
Miss Graham?
Could you take me to Liverpool? I could get better there. Bella could take care of me.
Gloria, no.
We never expected that Gloria Graham in our kitchen.
You know, you should go to a hospital where they can treat you, where they can actually...
No! I've got 4 kids. I don't need 5.
I'm not a kid!
You are all I need.
We all know what's up, love, with Gloria.
I don't know what you want me to say.
You can start with the truth.
Tell me how I look.
You look beautiful.
Time among all of your enemies.
I just want to go back to Liverpool. Say it again, Peter.
Liverpool.
Oh.
You shouldn't look at me. You shouldn't look at me. That way.
Has anyone ever told you you look like Lauren Bacall when you smoke?
Humphrey Bogart.
Oh.
I didn't like it then either.
You're like, God damn, woman, come on.
I'll pay you a compliment, Jesus.
I wonder if dude's a manhandling your ass. Original song by Elvis Costello. And, you know, this is a movie a lot of people are saying kind of got overlooked at the Oscars. I mean, some people just saying it's not even for the film itself, maybe for just the performances. Peter Turner and more so Gloria Graham, they're played by Jamie Bell. And Annette Bening, I would tell you, before we talk about how whether this movie got shunned or not or how great it is, casting, they got it.
Yeah. I was wondering why Jamie Bell's hair was like that, but when you show the picture of Peter Turner, I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. And it's funny because speaking of casting, I got something about Jamie Bell there. But if you look at a younger Gloria Graham, you can see Annette Bening right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as she got older, you know, they have older pictures of Gloria Graham, and she does at times – really has Annette Bening, you know, features.
Wait, which one is which?
Ah, there you go, Martin. Huh? Which one do I shoot?
Sure. I'm the real Annette.
Yeah, they, you know, they, she has very similar features. So if nothing else, they got that down. And when you say Jamie Bell, I was thanking Jamie Bell not so much, and even more when I saw who Gloria Graham dated earlier, a guy named Cy Howard. Mm-hmm. Actually, he looks more like Jamie Bell than the other guy that dated him right there.
You don't
see that?
Nah.
I do.
That dude like he's sleeping in a coffin, man.
Yeah. Look at
him. He's sucking her youth away. Or she's sucking his away.
Yeah, he's like an Italian vampire.
I see it. No, it's all a mess. But, you know, the thing that I think that, you know, you can cast people and they look similar, but that the performances are what really counts. And I don't know how you guys felt about it, but I was like, man, when you have a movie, let me move this up a little bit so I can show you a little something here. When you have a movie where you got an older woman dating a younger guy, I mean, that woman can be like 3 years older than this dude, and people going, for some reason, the way society is set up, they just going to kind of question it a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's harder to do when you got a woman who's almost 30 years older than some dude, a woman who's almost 30 years older than some guy, and they managed to make that believable in this film. I think right off the bat, now I'm speaking for myself, of course, right off the bat, though, the way they're flirting, the way they first meet each other, it's just like any young couple or any couple who meet each other and almost have an instant attraction. I thought that if nothing else, that is what sold me in the movie. Young ass Jamie Bell and Annette Bening.
Hey, have you seen the movie Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah, I've seen it. Actually, I saw it 3 times.
Oh, so you like disco dancing?
Oh, God. Well, I like drunk dancing.
Oh, so if I make you a drink, you come into my room and hustle with me? I need a partner for my dance class.
I mean, if you fix me a drink, I'll come in and clean your bathroom.
I remember I got shushed in the movie because I said out loud, she going to fuck him.
Man, I've been in positions like this. You got them old Spencers like, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And they don't blink like she's doing right here. He's like, oh, no. You're trying to trap me.
She sure was trying to, like, hypnotize his ass.
Come in, make a drink.
Well, she had a great way of doing that. Yeah, the not blinking. Very obviously flirting, but yet there was always something about it where it was like, but it could be innocent, and I don't know.
It was something sinister going on in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah, but then get him in there and just not attack him right away. You're like, all right, well, I'm so not sure which was going on.
Yeah,
first
she's
I was
so
like,
good.
I'm not into it, but if she's not, well, why not? What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah. She's so good, he didn't have to do nothing.
Yeah.
She's looking like that, that snake looking at Mowgli, you know?
I know.
Trust in me.
Hey, kid, come here.
Come here, man cub.
Yeah, man. I how did you guys feel about the chemistry, though?
No, that was one of the things that really stood out for me in this. With the story that goes on outside of these two going at each other, it kind of felt a little boring and repetitive. But with the anytime these two were just on screen and sharing drastic emotions, which they do a lot in this movie, it really felt organic and it felt realistic. That was one of the things that it really endeared it to me.
Yeah, how about you, Martin?
The performances by both were great, although I spent the whole movie distracted by how much Jamie Bell looks like a grown-up Tom Holland.
He does.
I mean, and Tom Holland did play Billy Elliot at some point.
Are you sure?
No, he did. He, I mean, early in his career.
No, I mean, I know. I'm just joking. Like, yeah, because there's so much
there's
alike.
A lineage, but I just like, he could totally be like a grown-up Spider-Man at this point. You could just swap him out or
don't
something.
Don't put him in no more Marvel movies. We saw what happened in Fantastic Four. We're done with Jamie.
No, they put Chris Evans in a Marvel movie. I mean, in the Fantastic Four movie, and he came back as Captain America.
That is true.
So he's due a chance for redemption.
Yeah, man. I can as much as those two look alike, never made the connection.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You know something? And continues for me. I mean, if anything's anchoring this movie, it's just how these two just get along. I mean, they feel like people who genuinely are drawn to each other. I know he's like, shit.
Why am I getting naked? I don't know what's happening.
I just want to go home.
Well, I kept having the question of, okay, who's going to make the move on who?
Yeah, yeah, because you didn't really know. It's like, all right, is he feeling her as much as she's feeling him, vice versa? So, like, that's one of the things that I think was that felt realistic to me is that you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to make the move. Is the move going to be too quick? I started getting concerned for them. I was like, right. Oh, make the right choice.
and great for Annette Bening really taking that role and putting some sexuality in there herself, which is like Gloria Graham is tasteful, but for a woman her age, you know, doing this, it's like she transcends her age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a moment where, okay, yeah, you can tell she's older, but when they start hanging out and drinking and going places, they feel like actual dates.
Yeah.
What's that?
No, go ahead. I'll make my point after you say yours.
Well, I was just going to say one thing that might have helped too for me is that I love the cinematography in this movie. And the reason why I do is because there are moments in this movie where the cinematography, they want to put in some harsh realities of what their relationship is, and they film it that way.
Yeah, there were some shots in the trailer where she looks like she really does look her age. Like,
yeah,
they did a good job of how they lit her just based off the trailer. There are points where she looks like a starlet, and then there are points like, oh, her age is really being like put up front here.
Yeah, and there's a reason why she actually looks more aged than she really is there. Mm-hmm. And again, there's a lot of harsh realities that they want to put in there. Mm-hmm. But they do some other things where it does feel like I'm looking at some of the scenes that they have in here where, you know, they're enjoying themselves on the beach and they capture the, first of all, the hazy lighting of people who are actually truly in love. And then, you know, it's almost like a throwback to her starlet days, too. Mm-hmm. So they really do put you in the dream world of new lovers, and they put you in this dream world of this woman who feels young again. And then when things get rough, they're like, They yanked that shit away.
Yeah, they captured the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Right when it's bad, it's bad.
Well, yeah. I just kept thinking about the middle phase. Because, yeah, there's the honeymoon and then it's where it's bad. Mm-hmm. But in the middle is when you've settled and you like each other, but that person is really showing who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very much a Hollywood actress with all the frustrating things that come with that because she's just so Hollywood.
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's crazy. she's a crazy Hollywood actress, as neurotic as many of them are. And it's just like, oh, jeez.
Oh, and there's a great moment in here where you realize you've been strung along.
Yeah.
There's a couple of people here and like, you know she's fucked up, right?
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the movie really does. They do some Tim Burton shit with her where it's like they let you know that she's messed up too. They got to remind you every now and then. But it's not a point where that is taken over. I mean, if anything, it really cements how much this guy cares for her.
Yeah, and then speak on like – everybody acting in here, I think, did a phenomenal job. I wish I knew her name. Ron Weasley's mom and
Harry Julie Walters.
Yeah,
Julie Walters
did a great job because, like, you know, with this kind of thing, I expected the parents and the family to react one way, and they did something completely different. So I was like, oh, that's neat.
It shows you what stardom buys you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she had been nobody. They'd been like, boy, what are you doing?
And now they stuck with her. Yeah.
Because there's this old lady at my house.
Because that's how, man. Because they are like a real family. Like, they oh, it's Gloria Graham. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. The Gloria Graham. And then they come up and parts of the family like, fuck, it's Gloria Graham.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who... they're sympathetic. Some people still are lured by her. And some people are like, man, fuck that chick, man.
Yeah.
This is our home.
Yeah, the parents feel one way, but the older brother feels another.
Yeah. And I forgot that dude's name, but I love that
I never
actor.
Know that guy's
that
name.
That was in Guy Ritchie movies.
He was
Al Capone.
Al Capone.
Yeah. Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's really good in this, too. I tell you, man, I'm praising this movie, I think, deservedly a lot. But there's one thing that really pissed me off in the film that made it step back and say, okay, I can see why this was probably not seen as being Oscar material. For the performances, it's just so much stuff out there that it's hard to really you know, bring people in. I mean, it really did get overlooked. But as far as like the story goes, man, this is what I don't like. There's something that happens in this movie and they do this early on in the film, and from that point on, you're like, well, shit, I know where this is going to go. And you sit up there waiting an hour and a half for it to get to that point.
What's that? No, Martin his cues. But yeah, they have that same kind of trope that we see a lot in many films, and the second it happens, you're like, all right, I know how this is going to resolve itself.
And it's does it make it a bad movie? No, but you put your emotion out there instead of earning that emotion. You know what I mean? This is something where they wanted to hook you in with the cheapest of ways. And I'm just thinking how this is a story where it's so unconventional, this relationship between these two characters, that some of this stuff should have been slowly revealed. And that would have, for me, it would have more of an impact.
Well, same here, because I watched it not realizing that she was based on a real person until it got to the end.
Same here. Mm.
So me just looking at it as a story, I was like, man, y'all, so many different ways y'all could have gone with this.
Yeah. How'd you do it? Oh, that's really happening. Yeah. My bad.
Can you give can you, without spoiling anything, can you give away something that it could have done a different way?
Well, there's so many avenues you think a May-December relationship could go, where there's trouble later. Or a third person who comes in and ruins things, or just events in life like a war that separates people, as opposed to what it was. That whole preview you had of Gloria Graham. I wish I had seen all that before I saw the movie, because the movie would have had more impact on me. But yeah, a good reason it got overlooked for Oscars is because, as great as these performances are, the movie doesn't make that big of an impact on you as a whole.
The narrative's really flat.
Yeah, it is. It is. And to some degrees, it reminded me of Call Me By Your Name. It's that same kind of thing where the older younger relationship and kind of lazily going by, realistic how they flirt and come together.
Mm-hmm.
Not all that much that goes on afterwards. And also, I realized thinking about this movie, it's like, oh, yeah, I've been in a situation like this. So when I see this, I was like, yeah, this is not going to end well. Even with Call Me By Your Name, I was like, I kind of know where this goes. And just it's something that I don't look back on fondly in a wistful way.
Well,
I go like,
well, I feel like
that was fucked up.
In Call Me By Your Name, it kind of felt more deserved because it, like, everything that happened. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with this one, it kind of just felt like, all right, this resolution just happens abruptly. And if that's the way it happened in real life, kudos for them for keeping it, you know, on the tee. But yeah, it just felt like Martin is right. The narrative was a little awful. And I mean, again, if it was a real thing, I can't really say anything about it.
Yeah, I don't. And like I said, I mean, I really like the movie. The performances, I think, kind of overcome anything in there. Even performances by some other people. We mentioned Weasley's mom. In there.
Ron Weasley's mom, Mrs. Yeah. Weasley.
Vanessa Redgrave plays Gloria Graham's mother, and she's really good in there.
She's
and
always good. I love her.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's always good. I always see a new side of her, too. I love the effort that's put in the movie for the relationship that it has, and it's not going to be for everybody, understandably. I enjoyed the movie enough that I would give it a low full price. Not anything where it's going to earn any awards or anything like that, but those performances deserve a lot of attention, I think. Go ahead.
I'm kind of in the same boat you are. The performances in here are phenomenal, I think, especially with Jamie Bell and Annette Bening leading it. Their relationship feels legit. It feels like there's something tangible there, and that's not something you see a lot in Hollywood films, especially recently. And then outside of that, you have the family that's doing some great acting, and then you get introduced to her mother and her sister who come in and do some wild stuff.
Yeah, I love that scene.
Yeah, but and then Coleman said earlier, the cinematography in here is really good. But there's a lot of times in this movie where the budget shows. There was that one scene on there where you saw her smoking on the balcony, and that's an obvious backdrop of New York City. Yeah. And then when they're in like L.A., like you could tell they're not really on the beach and things like that. So
I would think that some of that might. They might be trying to make that intentionally fake because, you know, they're trying to make you say, is this relationship fake? You know, is this a dream world that they're living in? Like, they're shot right there, and that shots where they're going down the beach, and, you know, they're walking down the street. At one moment where you see it's all dark right there, but when they're together, it's all sunny and lit well.
Well, no, that's the thing. When it's done, like, it's sunny and lit well when they're on the beach and she had the butterfly, and it just felt like, again, that honeymoon moment. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, all right, that's deserved there. But that moment where they spent a lot of time in New York, and they keep showing that same backdrop, and that's the in-between time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, all this stuff is falling away, but you're still keeping like these ugly sets on the screen right now and trying to tell me to believe in it. Yeah. And so yeah, that's kind of took me out of the movie. And then the fact that this, like I said, the narrative is just really flat. I think the story in here is just, it's not, it doesn't grip you. Like you're just kind of going about the motions. You're engaged by the performances, but the story is just like it's all right. So for the for the performances and the cinematography that's done here, it's a solid matinee for me.
Okay, yeah, I can definitely see that, Martin.
I don't really have anything to add. I kept thinking he'll stop and I'll say this. Oh no, he just said it.
God damn it! Shit.
But it is one as good as the performances are. When the movie's all said and done, it's not all that memorable. Mm-hmm. The one thing I will say about Annette Bening was for so much of her career, she was an actress I just didn't think that much about. And lately, every time she's in a movie, I think she's fantastic in it. I'm almost like, man, I need to go back and watch her older stuff because I really had just been sleeping on her. I mean, even in that terrible Howard Hughes movie. Mm. She was still one of the better parts of it.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she played the mom. Yeah,
That Rules Don't Apply.
I never remember that name.
Yeah. But much like Goodwin, I give it a matinee.
Yeah, and I definitely see that. All right, then. Let's go ahead and get into some emails. And then we get ready to get out of here. Oh, no. We have to do Black Panther.
What?
Oh, that's right.
Oh,
cut that
bitch
off.
Yeah. My man wants to do Black Panther right here. So
I saw your boy Paris was there.
Oh.
Paris, like, you went and did his show when we were in L.A.
Oh, was he there?
Yeah, he was at the premiere.
Oh,
yeah,
Paris,
pictures on Facebook. Yeah.
Nice, man.
And Andre Black Nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We got to move to L.A. Let me see. Where are you, man?
It oh, there you go. Wouldn't be any more expensive.
Yeah. Oh, let me see here. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and call my man. Jacob, I think, is his name. Let me see if I can bring him up before I do anything.
Jacob.
His hip-hop name. All right. Hope it's not too late for him.
Yeah, man, I'm hearing nothing but good stuff.
People losing their mind over there.
I know. I ain't saying nothing else bad. Even if I ate the movie, I'm better full than price. Sex. That's an insult. Full price. Get out of here with that bullshit.
I hear Coonan.
What's
good? Yo.
Jacob.
Hello? All right.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let me cut you down a little bit. Jacob, first of all, welcome to Double Toasted, and furthermore, welcome to, God damn you, this motherfucker ready, he's ready to scream.
He's standing there.
Yeah, no, he's like, yeah.
I bet I won't.
Yeah, yeah.
I bet I won't.
What you say about Black Panther? Let me try this again. Welcome to. Oh, wow, man, wow. You ain't going to say nothing? I just fucked all that up right there.
Cut that bitch off.
No, shut the fuck up. You don't want to come in on time. No, hell no. Fuck you.
He got him, bitch. Hit your marks next time.
Oh, hey, man. Been a long time since we've done this. As you can see, I'm a little rusty with it, too. But Jacob called me, or he sent me an email a couple of days ago. And, yeah, it was, I guess, was it yesterday?
It was yesterday.
Yeah, and he said, I saw Black Panther because, well, I'm black and I live in L.A. and everybody was invited.
Yeah.
And he said, I want to come on the show and talk about it, but I have class tonight. How about tomorrow on the movie review extravaganza, which we're doing right now? And Jacob, everybody is
Jonathan.
Jonathan. What's your name? Jonathan? Is it? What did
yeah.
you say? Oh, Jonathan.
Where'd you get Jacob?
Out my ass. I don't know. I just saw a J and ran with it. Jimmy.
<That's all> right.
What have you had? but Jonathan, I got that right, correct, Jonathan?
Yes.
Jonathan, now are you in L.A.?
Close enough. I'm in Orange County.
Okay. And do you do any kind of media at all that got you invited to Black Panther?
It was through a program at my school, though I am an animation major.
Okay. All right. So you'd be making the Black Panther cartoon, Black Panther Babies.
Shit, hopefully. Have you tried calling me on Skype?
I am calling you on Skype. Is that okay?
I think he wants his face up there.
Shit. No, this is on my phone.
Oh, well, I called your phone number on Skype. Are we using up your minutes?
Up.
Are you on that Boost Mobile right now?
I gotta go recharge my drug phone.
The integrity of this review is compromised.
Yeah. Prank caller.
He's using a burner phone.
He just takes the shit and throws it across.
Smashes it.
Would you like us to call you on Skype?
Yeah.
Well, damn. Here's the thing, man. I gotta have your Skype contact because I don't have your Skype name. I just have your phone number.
Okay. Well, would it be easier to find you?
I'll tell you what. Let me lay it out like
this. I don't even want to hear about this movie now.
Here's what you can do. Email me your Skype name. I will put you in there. When you see the invite, come on, and then I'll read a couple of emails until I see that we've connected.
Okay.
All right. Chat's already talking about
it. Cut that bitch up!
Gertz was thinking it.
Before it even got started. Before he even got to the review. Yeah. All right, man. Well, send me your name, and I'll get a hold of you, and we'll do something in between, all right?
All right. Sorry all right. about the trouble.
All right. Thank you, man. Talk to you soon.
There you go.
And he was never heard from again.
I swear to God, if you start reviewing this movie and spoiling shit.
That's my fear.
I will laugh my ass off.
But we'll give him some guidelines. We'll say, like, do not spoil this movie. Yeah,
we'll kill Michael B. Yo!
Yeah, exactly.
How are you?
Yeah. Michael B. Jordan was amazing, especially his death scene.
In that scene where he was boxing with Stallone.
And he's not even the main villain. He dies in the first 10 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Man,
I would laugh.
He's a replicant.
where's the Skype at here?
It's interlinked.
I want to make sure I have him hung up on. I'll tell you what.
It's not even close to baseline.
Oh, Jesus. I can't. Did he hang up? I'm trying to figure out Skype. I'm just getting a blank screen right there. I have nothing.
Damn.
Yeah.
Skype just gave me closing a... and restarted, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I get triggered by the color blue. Be careful.
Yeah. That might
hold through your monitor.
Might be a little Smurf in there somewhere.
I mean, he's got a blue microphone or something.
Oh, shit. Yeah, just get the shit out of me. Damn, man. That's how convincing you are. All right, we'll call it back in a little bit. Until then, let's go ahead and get into a couple of emails.
Maybe Marvel silenced him.
Okay, so let me take that.
Yeah, let's have a Hawkeye there.
Let's see here. Kirk Lazarus. I have never seen this person before.
It's a dope name.
It
back
is.
From the dead.
I hope that's your real name too, man, because that's badass. Let's see here. It says, hey, Corey, long time follow of yours since Spill. I was glad I found Double Toasted about 5 or so months ago on YouTube. I think I spent a weekend of watching your old videos, and now I joined the site, watch every live stream since. I hope to head down there to see a live show. I'm in Puerto Rico. Oh, Puerto Ricans love us, man. Man,
yeah, what's going on?
I don't know, man.
We've had like 5 just this year.
Yeah, they're like the new Australians now.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, well, they're taking refuge here. And let me see here. He says, I hope to get down there. I'll bring Puerto Rican rum. Heard very good. Yeah. With 2 video game movies coming out this year, do you think one of them, the one that does, he says, do you think one of them will be the one that does...
Does it
and make gaming movies great? Or are we looking at another Assassin's Creed? Oh, I hope to God not. Also, do you think video game movies will make better TV shows than a 90-minute movie? Because they will have the time to develop characters and the story. Mm-hmm. I've always said that I thought that...
I always thought The Last of Us would be a great miniseries.
Oh, yeah, on HBO?
Yeah, but don't have it be about Ellie and Joel. Like, it could be about other people in the world that are going through different stories. So, like, each episode kind of would be like a Black Mirror, like its own thing.
That's great. That's great, man. Like, that way they don't have to repeat the story, but we get more of that world.
Yeah.
I always thought that, believe it or not, Resident Evil, if they actually went by the series before it got too ridiculous, but I thought every week there could be a different biohazard that they could attack and a new creature that they, it could be dumb fun. So, yeah, video games, you have Mario Brothers, the Mario Brothers, those 2 wrestlers.
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Show.
The animated show wasn't terrible, but yeah.
Tomb Raider and what's the other video game?
Rampage.
Okay. I didn't think that counted, but okay. Yeah. Sure.
But no, I think Assassin's Creed, I feel like they actually tried to make that movie that bad. I think I've said this before. With Assassin's Creed, they were trying to condense a story that takes like 50 hours to tell into an hour and a half or 2 hours, and it turned into a mess. Even the story in the game is a mess. I don't think that Tomb Raider will be the one. I think it'll be decent, but I don't think it's going to be the one that's like, all right, video game movies are serious now. I don't think Rampage will be the one, but I hope it is.
That would be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be nuts.
It'd be like the Get Out of...
or the Jumanji of...
Well, I was going to say, after Jumanji, who knows? It could be good.
That's The Rock again.
Yeah, I have a hunch that Tomb Raider is going to be really bad. I do not have a good feeling about that one at all. But I think Rampage... I think Rampage has a shot at being fun. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be one of those movies that's going to be like, wow, this is the first good video game movie. I still think we're a long ways away from having that, honestly. I just don't know if it's going to happen within the next 10 years.
Within the next 2 years, we'll get a good
movie. Yeah.
Guaranteed.
You think?
Okay. Yeah, quote me on that.
And you know something? I think the movies are starting to be more fun. Jumanji, which is not really based on a video game. The reason why it was fun because it parodied video games.
Right.
You know, so that was kind of as crazy as it seems, it was sort of a... It was so obvious that it was hard. You know, you're making fun of video game tropes. No movies have really done that well.
Yeah, I feel like the closest that we've come outside of Mortal Kombat and stuff like that, and to show that people are actually trying. When this is big up to Blizzard, was the World of Warcraft movie. Like, you could tell there was a heart thrown into there.
Yeah,
it just didn't turn out right.
It was a lot of money for a niche audience.
Yeah.
And it paid off in another country.
Yeah.
China wasn't
Korea.
Korea. I agree with you, Paradox, that Jumanji does count as a video game movie. Silent Hill, I think, is a good It's a good movie. I don't think it's bad.
I think the Tomb Raider movie will probably be on par with like the first Resident Evil. Resident Evil. Like on par with that. I don't think it'll be terrible.
And I think the more self aware you are, the better. I think that Rampage is probably going to be cool.
What's happening to my friend?
My friend.
I don't want to turn into pixels, man.
That will not turn into pixels.
It seems like it's floating that line, dude.
I tell you that ape. I already feel bad for him. So my emotions in there already a little bit.
I feel bad for George too.
Yeah, George.
But that alligator and that wolf fuck them.
I like that alligator came out of nowhere.
Wasn't part of this.
Yeah. Who invited you?
420 about to be the day this year, man.
Oh no,
there's so much stuff coming out. The new God of War comes out 420.
The game?
Yes.
Yeah. They decided to put that on 420?
Yes.
They know that pothead's going to stay home and play
God of War, Super Troopers, Rampage. It's something else on 420.
Showdogs is close. It comes out like the week before. We're going to see that.
All that shit is great pothead shit,
and
man.
And Jack in the Box is going to have new menu items.
Yes. New munchies.
Yeah, people going to be at home playing video games. Eating tacos and churros.
Yeah, go catch an Uber to go see Rampage.
Yeah. Oh, let's see here.
Do you remember when the first trailer dropped for Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and a lot of people were like, "This shit looks terrible," and then it came out and it was actually like really good.
Yeah.
Mm.
Part of me is like, I'm kind of getting that vibe from Rampage. I don't think it's gonna be that good, but people were like, "This looks like shit," and I was like, "I think this one could be pretty fun."
Well, with that first Planet of the Apes, when I watched it, I was like, "I don't know. I think it looks good."
I had the same hunch. I got in a fight with one of my friends over. I was like, "I think it's gonna be pretty solid," and then it exceeded well beyond my expectations.
And then his friend brought up Smurfs.
Yeah, then my friend bought me Smurfs,
and he's no longer around.
I had to kill him. Now his head keeps me coming.
I say Mass Effect could be a good HBO series. Somebody said Life of Black Tiger should be a TV series. That'll be the one.
I will defer that to Patrick. Mass Effect could be terrible as a TV series.
I don't think
because it's all about your choices.
Yeah. No, that's true. You really thrown in there. Silent Hill, they say, is one.
And that franchise has been ruined. Yeah. That Mass Effect has been ruined.
People say Angry Birds wasn't terrible. That could count for being what it is.
It wasn't terrible. It wasn't a good movie.
I don't think it was good.
I liked it.
I remember you liked it. Yeah, so somebody liked it. James Cosner says, I go by Tracksuit Dracula. I remember you from Spill, man.
Man, I ain't calling you that.
I am. I like that. You know what that's a reference to, though, right?
No.
Aqua Teen Hunger Force. They watched a show called Tracksuit Dracula. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Nursing Home Dracula, or Assisted Living Dracula.
Yeah.
Now, that's funny.
Let me see. He says, I am seeing a lot of articles about how good Black Panther is. He's about Black Panther, and he says how good it is, and that black people finally have a hero that looks like them and they can relate to. I have always been confused by this train of thought because, as pale, chubby, emo-looking guy, I in no way am able to relate to the characters like Superman or Captain America, despite the shared skin color. I'm not looking to cause trouble with this, but I'm curious about this and am interested to hear your perspective. I can tell you because you're white.
You know, man, even if you don't feel like you look like them, like you kind of do.
Yeah, here's the thing. I hear what you're saying. You're saying black people looking at a superhero, and you're saying y'all ain't superheroes, so why is everybody making a big deal about this? And I'm not even mad at you, man. I'm answering your question to really inform you, because I understand you're probably not understanding. I don't think you're racist or anything like that. That's a racist question. But you have been so used to looking at people that look like you in all these heroic, powerful, beautiful, sexy positions. And black people have gotten it in bits and pieces, but it's always something where the norm is it's hood, mm-hmm. it's slavery. And we're talking about when the mainstream has thrown money at something and kind of blew it up bigger. It is always something that's kind of urban, slavery, what do you call it? Subservient, mm-hmm. Servant. That's why people got – when you have Lee Daniels, who's so – he's kind of wondering, why do people – why are they upset at me? It's because, well, you make some movies about white people that actually look kind of cool, and you make these other movies about black people where they're like overweight and living in the hood running with chicken.
Yeah, you know? And then like I saw this on the internet today. Somebody was like, well, yo, what are you talking about? Black Panther's your first black hero. You had Blade. It's like, I'd say he's more of an anti-hero, one. And then, like, a lot of the stuff he was doing was for his own need. Like, Black Panther's like, I'm here to protect my country. I'm here to protect my people. I'm regal. I'm a king. I'm all of this.
Yeah.
And Blade was just like, all right, I'm slicing these people up because I want to find my mom.
Well, Blade was also having to have – it's not – Blade is not a black movie. Blade is a black hero, which is cool, but he – you know, they you could tell, like, okay, we got to sell this movie by giving him a white team, yeah. You know, giving him a white buddy. And I mean, nobody's complaining. Blade is badass, man. And we always forget to talk about Blade. Blade's a bad motherfucker, but – Blade did not have the budget that Black Panther did.
Right.
Blade does not have the Afrocentric attitude, which is, I know everybody's throwing that word around, but that is a thing. Black Panther, T'Challa is a king.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie where they're hiring a lot of black people, not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera. This is a superhero that's not like some underground dude. He's not some guy who's kind of hood. He's not a cartoon character. He is a powerful, one of the most powerful people in that universe.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all can look at things like Blank Man, you know, stuff like, I mean, this is what I had to grow up with, you know, because nobody was going to give superheroes that look like me the kind of money that Superman was getting and Batman right. was getting.
Yeah, we talked about this on the High Score. When I was saying I was growing up, like, all my superheroes were animated, so I had Jon Stewart, the Green Lantern, and Static Shock, but I would never get to see them, like, portrayed in real life, and that's something I really wanted to see. So with Black Panther, I finally get that moment.
Yeah, man. A lot of people gonna think you're making a big deal about it because you're black. No, go back and really, really be honest with yourself and look at it, and you're gonna be knocked out. You're gonna be floored by it took this long to get to where we are. I kind of can see it because looking back at my age, I'm kind of even flabbergasted that just 4 years before I was born. Integration was still a thing, you know, mixing black kids and white kids at the school was a thing, you know, and I've come along and it seems kind of natural to me, even though we had some, you know, bumps with that when I was coming up. So, you know, I can see how the natural progression is to get there, but still it's like, man, I'm 46 and this is the first time I'm getting something like this. You know, it is a big deal. And you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Although I wonder if his point is, hey, how come there's no chubby superheroes?
There are. Captain Underpants. I mean, everybody. Look, come on. You know, I mean, we ain't going to split hairs like that. No, we ain't going down that road.
I feel like there's more chubby superheroes than there are black ones that have been represented in movies. We can't think of them, but I'm pretty sure there are.
I can only think of one.
Hulk is fat. He's just sucking it in.
You know? I keep thinking about the Blob, but
no, he's a villain. No, there's a character called Faith.
Yeah. Let me go ahead. Go ahead, man. No, make your point.
Well, you got your just dude helping out Spider-Man.
Who?
In the Homecoming.
He's not a superhero.
He's assisting superheroes.
Who?
The Felix in Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ned.
No.
He's
like
Spider-Man Robin.
There's Faith who's around now and Night Owl.
Night Owl was strong.
And Blue Beetle got fat for a while.
To be fair, like, fighting crime is physically exhausting.
Exactly.
So even if you start fat, you're probably not going to stay fat very long if you stick with it.
Right.
So.
But then, he's got a point. All the people in Watchmen, like, Night Owl got fat, Comedian got out of shape.
Yeah.
There's two.
Because they stopped fighting crime.
Yeah.
Okay, Jonathan, I don't know if you're going to be able to come up, but I'll type your name in and see what happens.
I feel like there's a drunk superhero that was a little over
Iron Man.
Yeah, Tony Stark.
Iron Man's drunk a lot.
No. It's not Hancock. It's not Iron Man. I forgot who it was.
Miss Marvel used to get drunk.
Hank Pym.
Hmm.
Damn. Damn. Yo.
Give me a little bit of time, Jonathan. I'm trying to. I don't know why you just don't give me your name, man.
Cut that bitch off.
Yeah, Jonathan. What am I supposed to be looking at here, man? We might have to get out of here because it's kind of late too. But yeah. I don't see
keep
it.
Looking, I'm still thinking of fat superheroes.
you are.
Yeah, I'm trying, man.
Okay, somebody in the Legion of Superheroes, Bouncing Boy.
Oh,
is his power is that he's fat and bouncy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Legion of Superheroes had a lot of characters who were just way too on the nose.
Yeah.
This Mike,
like Matter Eater Lad.
He sent me a picture of him.
Oh, the Blob was treated as a pseudo hero though in the Wolverine movie. Remember when he went to go meet him and Will.i.am from Black Ops?
Yeah, he gets recruited.
Yeah, it was Kevin Durant as the.
Boom! There you go. That's your guy.
Oh, here, man.
Like, they were mercenaries. They weren't good guys.
They were fighting like bad people, though. I ain't seen him kill nobody good. That's all. He's a hero.
Okay, I'm going to give him my information, and then if we can't reach us, we call him tonight.
We're still doing this.
Yeah.
It's still got to happen.
He subscribes, and I want to, like I told you, I always want to, pay my respect.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead.
That's fair.
And I'm sending this to you, man. Just type me. Type me up, and you'll see it. You'll see it. I'm giving you my name. I don't even know why I'm typing. I just, for some reason, me saying it out loud just seems like I'm biting trouble.
I avoided trailer 2, trailer 3, and all these little clips that keep coming out for this movie. Man, if you fuck this up for me.
And when you get my Skype, call me. Just call me. We'll answer one more and then we're out. David Rogers. No, I'm not doing this. He gave me a trailer for Tugrats. Can you guess what that is?
I'm assuming a Rugrat porn?
Yeah. Oh,
you are correct, sir.
That is wrong, man.
That's been posted over and over in Children of Toast.
Yeah. Hiya, dumb grown-ups.
First of all, there's diaper porn in there, and I'm not into that.
I thought we just said we're not doing this.
But I had to.
God damn it.
Babies, we could play. Now we're adults. What are we going to do for fun? Our taxes?
Angelica?
This is why I watch amateur porn.
Yeah, man.
Because this shit just gets in the way.
Yeah, it's like, get to the business.
Yeah.
And I know you were not into this.
Yes, all this is so good. Yes, I love it.
No, Felix, because I'm not weird. I don't like watching SpongeBob, Rugrat, Teenage Mutant Turtle porn.
The chat is talking about this trailer's awful. You got damn right. That's why I stopped it. I'm like, I'm not watching this. No, hell no.
We have standards.
All right, man. Jonathan tried, man. And I guess we're going to get out of here. Yeah, I don't know. Tried, sir. Oh.
All hail King
Kimmel. Yeah, let's see here. They say this is you after Smurf. After your Smurf review. What the hell is this? Oh, this is original Smurfs.
Oh, damn.
Not baby Smurf, no. No, I do not approve of this. Not baby Smurf.
Yeah.
They just bombed the Smurf village. No.
Yeah.
No. Hey, on Friday we're doing the Drunk Show, 8 p.m., and that's going to be for Disco Godfather.
Yes.
Yes.
I watched that again today to make the rules. Oh, my God. I'm so happy for this.
I can't wait either. I cannot wait.
How are we going to watch it?
And I might try to control it here, not because I want to take it away from anybody, but I want to try to see if I can get this on YouTube.
Okay, go for it.
You know,
okay.
Some kind of way that's nice and legal.
Okay.
Now that we've told you that, got you caught up, again, put it on your calendar, Friday, 8 o'clock. Disco Godfather, that's going to be the one for the Drunk Show. And I think we'll all be here. And very quickly, so we can get on out of here, very, very quickly, go to dtmerch.com. Get something for yourself. Get something for yourself twice, because with our Valentine's Day special coming up, you buy two items, regular price, you get a $10 gift certificate, our $10 gift card. And before she's gone, get our featured artist shirt from Jenny Liano, G-I-N-N-Y-L-E-A-N-O. And if you like her work, go over to Jenny Designs. You can see more of that, because she won't be here. Because after a week, that shirt will not be around anymore. But taking her place is Cosmic Danielle. You wear that on you and walk around with her wisdom everywhere you go.
Spitting people's mouths.
Spitting people everywhere. Not just their mouths. Spitting on you all over. And let me see. There's dtmerch.com right there with all the items. But while you're there, wandering around DT Merch, go on over to doubletoasted.com and become a subscriber. Help us keep these shows going, this fine entertainment coming your way. And when you become a subscriber, besides supporting, you can actually join us on the show. I don't know, maybe a live stream, maybe Skype when it's working, and other things. And to become a subscriber, there's many ways that you can do it, but my favorite way, the Amazon Prime account, hooking up with our Amazon Pay button, and entering your username, your password, pressing send, and sitting back and just enjoying all the toasted goodness coming your way. And while you're over there, if you haven't subscribed at all, you just want to try it out, you do get to try the service out 7 days for free. If you don't like it, you can stop at any time, but keep listening to the audio. SoundCloud is getting very popular, and also we're on iTunes if you're an Apple person. Midnight Chat Attack, every Saturday, 7:30 p.m. to midnight Central Standard Time. Talk to them on the chat. Hey, God, what's her name?
Wendy Williams.
Yeah, when she had that fainting spell.
Yeah.
There they are. When they're not fainting, you can talk to them in the chat, or you can go over to their YouTube streaming channel and talk to them face-to-face. What else we got? I think that's it. Enjoyed the show tonight. I had a lot of fun with everybody, even you, Felix. How you doing, sir? Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Sure.
Thank you. Even your little angry ass.
This is a passionate show.
Yes. Yes, it was. Thank you for bringing that passion, even though it was aimed at us.
Scary.
Yeah. I didn't think we were going to make it through this show. And come on down and see us sometime. And if you can't, well, we understand. I mean, we'd like to see you, but if we have to settle for an email, we will. We're always thinking about you. We just want to hear from you. So in an email, type in kcoolmans@gmail.com. That's kcoolmanz@gmail.com. Email us with any kind of questions, comments, compliments, insults, input, and our advice. Now, if I could be on the show, as you know, you can see us leaving, but we'll be back. Sammy ain't seen shit. He's going to be here tomorrow. Saturday, the high score, followed back again by an early Sunday service. I think we'll be starting at 3 o'clock doing a movie review there, where we'll be doing tribute. And in that email, put your phone number, put your Skype contact in there, press in, bam, up in your home, criticize you, the only critics in the world with your house calls. On the Twitter, @KCoolMan. On the Instagram, @DoubleToasted fan page. On the Facebook, type in Double Toasted. Would you like some private time with me? Type in Corey.Coleman.5. If I'm too busy critiquing you privately, Mr. Goodwin.
Find me on Facebook, Corey.Goodwin.5. You can find me on Twitter or Twitch.tv. The High Score DT, all one word. On Instagram, DB Cooper KG. Grumpy Smurf.
We know you love it. Yes, you can find me on Facebook, Patrick Gertz. Twitter, Patrick Gertz, @PGertz. And on Instagram, @PGertz. The man dressed like a Smurf, Mr. Tom.
That's all my Smurfy goodness on Twitter, Instagram, @Martin_NoFro. Look for Martin Thomas on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, then join the group, The Children of the Toast. Back to you, Corey Coleman.
Oh, thank you, Martin Thomas. Join us here in the world-famous Double Toasted Studios, soon to be at another bigger location. But we're still bringing that stank-ass couch with us. So, if you're in Austin, you know what to do. You're visiting, so drop us an email and let us know that you're here. But you moved here. That's no excuse, because you're not going anywhere. Come hang out with us. Come see a show. But what I don't like is if you did move here and you didn't tell anybody and you've never been down here, that makes us feel very neglected, very sad. You don't want to get Gers angry. So come see a show. KCoolmans@gmail.com. That is it, everybody. Good night, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you are listening to or watching this, goodbye and stay toasted.
Motherfucker.